Lightning Broadcast Day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM.
Something's not happening.
Uh-oh. All right. What's happening, Teresa Strasser?
No, same old, same old. How are you, Adam
Nobody's
Carolla?
Microphones are on in my head.
All right. Hey, T, what's going on?
Adam, how was your weekend?
Let's see. Nice and uneventful. Spent a lot of time with my kids and went and saw Zodiac.
Oh, how was that?
It was good, but every movie I've seen this year that's been over 2 hours and 15, The Good Shepherd, Zodiac, there was another one. Every movie I've seen where I've went, wow, this movie's 2 hours and 45 minutes long or 2 hours and 35 minutes long. Your first impulse is it going to be good for over 2 hours? And then when you leave the theater, it's, they could have shaved 20.
My first thought is, are my kids old enough to leave while I smoke?
Ah.
That's been since they were babies.
Listen, you can't leave Dante in a theater. He's five, right?
No, he's six, but he's a young six, and no, you really can't. Because what can happen is, at that age, like, you'll take him to see a cartoon, mm-hmm. and you'll think, hey, Dante, sit here. Daddy's going to smoke a cigarette right outside that door. But coming attractions can be really scary, even at a cartoon movie.
Well, one of the things I did like about Zodiac was all the smoking.
Right.
Because really? It takes place in 1969, 1970. Well, people worked at a newspaper. They sat at their desk and they smoked.
You know? Walter Cronkite used to smoke during the news.
People, Johnny Carson would sit and smoke from his desk. Life was wonderful and civilized.
They went on a flight and they said the smoking section is the last six seats. And it's a, 727. It's a 100-seat plane, and like you're going to sit in the last six seats and just smoke it up.
The funny thing about the smoking section, having always been a smoker, like, some of my first memories, like making a handprint for mommy and daddy out of clay in school, my other hand had a cigarette in it. Mm-hmm. I've always smoked. And even I found it as a smoker embarrassing that seat four was the smoking section, and seat five was not. They were closer than you are, Teresa. They requested not to be near me, and that's the best they could get.
As if the last, last four seats are for farting.
Right.
Right. Look, unless there's a half there's a half inch of plexiglass between your section and the farting section,
right.
I think you're going to know your proximity to the farting section.
Yeah, back then, though, people mostly, for the most part, didn't like the smell on them. They didn't think, hey, you're killing me. The secondhand smoke thing's relatively new.
Yeah, it wasn't so much a health thing as it was a almost a cosmetic thing. But still, I understood smoking in bars and smoking in restaurants and having the section. An airplane always seemed dubious and strange, even to a young Corolla. And we didn't avail ourselves of air travel very often, the Corollas. Right. Nobody flew in my family or anything, but I could remember just smoking, non-smoking, a lot of smoking, non-smoking, and thinking, is there a door you go through to get to
the smoking tank, which they should have done. That would not have been a terrible idea. They should do that here. They should expand my smoking helmet and give me the smoking phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
Then just sit right there, wouldn't bother anybody, maybe a vent.
Yeah.
Took it out, although I wouldn't care. If eventually by the end of the show at 10 o'clock you just couldn't see me because of the smoke, I'd be all right.
I was thinking about our Vegas show, and can you still smoke
in
casino?
You can smoke everywhere! What Adam was, when he was talking about the smoking section seemed nefarious even to a Corolla back then, that's what it's like to get off a plane and be in Vegas and just be able to light one up.
Yeah, I do light about Vegas. And
light one up and have sex with a girl on that table over there, and it's fine.
And just they're trying to spin the roulette wheel, Danny. So let them just make a little ass.
Yeah, I got one on red. I should have said six, but I added myself.
One of the movies. Anyway, talking about Zodiac, one of the things I did like, or which interesting, is a very good look at the '60s, early '70s culture. Yes.
I have a question. I wondered when I saw the billboard, is it about the Zodiac Killer, the real one that we had to deal with?
Yes, it is. And, again, smoking everywhere, lots of people, lots of cops trying to get hooked up via making phone calls and not being able to share records and saying things like, well, you can telefax this thing over, but we don't have a telefax machine, so you'll have to just send it via mail.
Not
I think
fax.
They call it a telefax back then. And it just made me think, this whole time you were just thinking, wow, if we had some DNA, if we had what we have now, or what about, there was a few murders he did that took place at intersections and things like that. Oh, this, if they did that, if this happened today, we would have some surveillance, some intersection footage, and then, like I said, my beloved DNA. And you really felt bad for these guys because it was 30 years ago or 30 years plus. They're trying to catch a guy, and they're just doing leads and talking to neighbors and trying to get fingerprints, but there wasn't any fingerprints, and they were just out of luck. They just couldn't do it. Obviously, it's same. Probably about the same as robbing a bank, which is if you tried to rob a bank in the 70s, you could probably get the hell out of there. Now there's a camera everywhere, and there's DNA, and there's an explosive blue thing they throw in the sack with it and all that good stuff. But it really made me, I know everyone is scared of the future and scared of technology, as we always talk about on this show. I wish they had it 30 years ago. And then it made me think, well, whatever we have now, we need to use it. Just, you're born, you get a little DNA sample, it goes into a big bank,
right.
And then cab drivers start dying, and people start dying over at Lover's Lane, and they just find some DNA, match it to the thing in the bank, and go to that guy's address.
This, luckily for me, and hopefully for all of us, is I've been in radio a really long time, and when it's just Danny Bonaduce, I talk about whatever the hell I want, and it was me and a partner once, it was just awful. It was just one of the worst 6 years of my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But on this show, it carries over into my life. We had that discussion because I don't necessarily, like I said, it's a slippery slope to get DNA.
Right.
You know, I agree with you on principle, but mm-hmm. I'm a big defender of the Constitution. So I had this whole discussion with my wife about taking DNA at birth and being able to profile people for the rest of their lives. It seems like a really good idea, but then it came up to me that, do you know, this is my true belief, and we were talking about you and I, or all of us having that conversation,
mm-hmm.
that in the future, I bet in 100 years, we are going to be looked on kind of the same way we look on people who used to be slave owners. It's like, mm-hmm. how could they do that? How could you do that to other your fellow man? In 100 years, when everybody's wearing the smoking helmet, but mm-hmm. to protect them from the rays,
sure.
whatever it is we've done by the time my great-grandchildren are digging the earth,
mm-hmm.
they're going to look at us as these cruel, horrible people that did this to the world. And we're just using what is available to us and acceptable at the time.
You're talking about using the resources.
Yeah, using your current resources or that you may know have no harm or are acceptable in today's society that will have negative effects on the future, and we are going to be looked down upon by the future for destroying things.
Well, it is important if you're in a position to make any change, such as a politician, to look at the things where, if you went ahead 100 years,
right.
not very long in terms of the Earth's history for sure, barely measurable, go ahead 100 years and then see how we'll be judged historically. I mean, during the 60s and 50s and these times when people are trying to integrate and segregate and saying, the black man ought to get a chance to vote, and people are raising their hand going, I don't think they should. Put yourself 100 years in the future. Do you really think that's going to be around?
Right.
And then what's it going to look like 100 years from now when we've moved? Hell, 6 years from now, 5 years from now. I mean, I feel like there's certain things where it's like women voting, black people voting. There's laws that just keep going. And you think, couldn't they have looked into a crystal ball? Didn't even need to be crystal. Could have been made of tin.
Yeah, a tin ball would have done it.
And looked ahead just, forget about 100 years. How about just 25 years? Come on. But on the other hand, if you were around in the 70s, and talking about the Zodiac Killer, and that movie was 69 and 70 and early 60s, early 70s, and it took place in San Francisco. If you were in San Francisco, Summer of Love, 69, Haight Ashbury, all that stuff, and somebody said, how long until marijuana is legalized? You would have said, I don't need a crystal ball. Probably this time next year. Over under 72. Yeah. 72, sure. 73. And if someone would have said 75, they would have went, no way, it's not going to take seven years. Well, now you move the clock ahead 40 years,
and
we're still talking about it.
By the way, and you'll have to have cancer or glaucoma to get it.
Yeah, it would have said, what's glaucoma?
Yeah, exactly.
I think in terms of the DNA evidence, it's hard to tell how history will look back on that because of all the positive ramifications, like the people who have been freed from death row.
My guess is if we live in a society worth living in, that they will look back on it positively. I'm on the slippery slope guy that I, and I don't play it like that character, which I happen to think is brilliant, by the way, but I just look at that other direction. You know, Adam was right when he said, well, Hitler wrecked it for everybody by trying to commit genocide.
And a lot of Orwellian novels about the future and people being assigned numbers and then the government coming after you.
Right. Some stupid ass. Because usually, if someone said that to me, I'm just being the devil's advocate.
Right.
If in real life outside this room, somebody said to me, oh, you can't do it. You'll profile people in the future and you'll know that they're saying you can tell if a baby's going to grow up to be a criminal now by his bone structure.
Right.
Yeah, there's science that's claiming that. I would say, get away from me. If you can figure out a kid's going to be a crook, just keep your friggin' eye on him.
But
but here, I just want to be the devil's advocate and say, you know, what if they decide to round people up again?
Well, the part, I just don't think that's going to happen because there's no money in it for the government. But it's this sort of running from technology business. It's like the same thing I have with stem cell is the same thing I have with DNA. And it all goes back to me, to my beloved football, and them using instant replay to see if the guy's foot went out of bounds or not.
Right.
Which is, we have a technology. We have five guys running around on the field, average age, 71 years of age, who are 10 steps slower than the brothers that are running past them. The game is happening in a blink of an eye. But what if I said we could find out definitively whether the guy's foot actually touched a line or the goal or the ball broke the plane of the goal? I'd take it. And that's what, you know what I like about instant replay? I get to see it and go, you know what? That's the right call, or that's the wrong call. I know definitively.
Yes, and there was an uproar when they started that, right?
Right. People were freaked out. Well, DNA lets you know definitively whether this guy was at the crime scene or not. Thus, I want to use... And same with stem cell. Now, everyone does that thing where they go, oh, sure, stem cell, good for now, but then what happens when we start harvesting
from
healthy babies? Yes, when we start these baby farms, just like we have these fish farms. Look, we can't treat society as if we're going to take a piece of technology and, well, look, I have a piece of technology here that'll create power for an entire household and it'll run it and it'll cost a penny a day. And then somebody says, wait a minute, what if the terrorists get hold of that? And then they use it to power their network. Like, I can't think that way.
See,
use it and don't let the terrorists get it. Use the DNA and don't let the government run amok. That's what I'm saying.
But I completely agree with that part. But what about the other? You got to think that people, especially from you, think differently.
Yes.
I say harvest bums tomorrow and get me a kidney. You find somebody with no job, adds nothing to society.
Right.
I got a pair of lungs here that I'm going to need replaced in a decade or less.
Liver.
You go get me some bum doing nothing. I'll front him 10 G's so he has a nice time till I need my lungs. And then you harvest his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away, kidding.
Stay away from his liver, though. Go for the kid who buys it in a moped accident for that. Yeah. Stay away from the bum liver. All right.
Good.
That's the high point of living like I do.
Bum harvesters.
If I happen to be right about this, no one will harvest me for my parts.
Well, your corneas are fine.
No. Getting LASIK.
Oh.
All right. All right. I'll take your biceps, brother.
Thank you.
Coming up, although I guess you have to keep working, eh?
Yeah.
I'll do the math on this. Coming up next, we have Stephen Flynn. Always bumps me when there's a Stephen with the PH. Once in a while, that mother effer goes by Stefan. And as soon as one guy goes by Stefan, then I'm screwed with then every Stephen needs to go with a V. All right, I'll yell at him. He's the author of The Edge of Disaster, Rebuilding a Resilient Nation. He studies in Homeland Security, and again, this has become sort of a new interesting topic for us in this show, and also foreign relations. We'll talk to him. It's Music Monday.
Ah, good topic.
The theme, since we're going to Vegas at the end of this week, is best and worst stripper music, or strip club music.
In the Bonaducci house.
Oh. About the best or the worst?
About the best, and it included a 12-year-old girl.
Mm. Oh, really? She weighed in?
Mm-hmm.
Heavily.
Wow. Frightening. We'll take Andrew Dice Clay is going to be in studio. And we'll take a quick break. Be right back with Stephen Flynn. Talk a little Talk a little 9/11, a little Homeland Security, a little foreign relations. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Don't go anywhere because there's a lot more coming up. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show.
7.1 KLSF. Free FM.
We will not live by your commandments. We're free.
We're SoCal's free to be.
Right. Adam Carolla.
You cannot text a handy.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
They like to make bigger balls and bigger holes so actually people who suck can enjoy the game.
Bigger balls, bigger holes so people suck can enjoy the game.
Tom Likas.
I would never talk to you unless someone was handing me cash like they are now.
Let me tell you, big guy, doesn't get much freer than that.
There's pleasure in that for me.
97.1 KLSX Free FM. Adam Carolla, American genius.
Tom Likas is on the phone. Tom?
Hello, Adam.
Again, glad to hear you in such a jovial mood.
Yeah. Cheering me up already.
Well, that's what Mr. Brightside is for. Well, let's see. We don't have time to really talk to anyone else, but Tom, I can just tell you, and you can laugh along, this guy has an ex-wife that has stolen his kids. Jane is clinging to death and 2 days away from dying. Larry's caught in a bear trap. He's calling from a forest. Fred's entire family was blown up by Hezbollah.
You're very jovial this morning, Tom.
The Adam Carolla Show. Mornings on 97.1 Free FM. Tom Likas, free to say what you're already thinking.
I do a show directly with you. Talk to you like I'm talking to you now. And then I talk to callers. It's just us. You'll find this is a much more personal form of communication. It's just me and you. I'm very laid back right now. But you will find as you listen to the program that the show can be offensive to a lot of people, specifically your wife or girlfriend. They are going to hate this program.
The Tom Likas Show, weekday afternoons at 3 on 97.1 Free FM.
Are you sick and tired of women taking your cash and not getting anything in return?
Well, we have something you've been wanting but didn't know you can get.
Something very, very tempting.
Are you listening?
Good. And so are your potential clients. I'm Christina.
And I'm Michelle. And we have the power to make your phones ring, get people into your place of business, and help you brand your company.
We're the marketing gurus behind the radio advertising you hear on this radio station.
We have a proven track record in growing businesses through radio advertising, online web marketing, event promotions, and sponsorships here at Free FM. Does that sound about right, Stephen?
Hi, this is Stephen Altamirano from Wings Realty. Ever since we've been advertising with 97.1, our company's productivity has increased, and we've gotten better results than we've ever expected.
So, if you're ready to take control of your business and increase your profits, now is the time.
Check us out at fmradioads.com.
That's fmradioads.com.
If it didn't work, we wouldn't be doing it ourselves.
Show with Danny Bonaducci on 97.1 KLSX Free FM.
Laser Eye Center. That's right. I can read. Says the Laser Eye Center right on this sheet of paper. I can read, but you can't. You have to do that thing where you hold it far away.
But you won't.
What I like to do. No, it's true. I believe it poisons the mind. I like to hold the thing far away. And then I hold it real close, and then I go to a normal distance, so it confuses people. They're not sure if I'm short-sighted, long-sighted, far-sighted. If it's going to be short-sighted, it should be long-sighted. Short-sighted and far-sighted, it should be close-sighted and far-sighted, or near-sighted and far... Oh, wait, near and close, yeah. I'm going to work this out during the commercial break. The point is, 800...
I'm doing the math on my biceps.
800, looking good, buddy. New chin-up bar in there.
Yep.
800-80-LASER. That's the number you call. Seriously, we always talk about the thing, like, you should be looking for ways to improve your life, everybody.
Right.
That's it. You have a very finite number of years on the planet. If the Zodiac Killer's still around, you may even have less. Get it taken care of. Don't go through life with the bifocals and the reading glasses and the saline solution and the messy contact lenses. 15 convenient locations throughout the Southland. Set up a free consultation. Go to lasereyecenter.com or call 1-800-80-LASER.
It's National Truck Month. Southern California's FM talk station.
If you can't afford a couple cases of Heineken to hand out to your thirsty patrons, can you really afford to get married?
97.1 Free FM.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
We now join FM talk programming genius Jack Silver for his state of the station address.
Boys, last year I took a lot of crap for programming 97.1 by Dartboard.
Dartboard? What do you mean, boss?
Simple, Schmendrick. I tape show ideas up on the wall, then I throw a dart. And voila, ask the proctologist, Sunday mornings at 9.
But how do we know listeners will like that?
The answer is, we don't. And up until recently, I didn't even care. Then I actually read some of the emails from the listeners. Ah. Oh boy, talk about an eye-opener. They loved Adam Carolla, but wanted a better show. So we ixnayed the traffic, reduced the amount of commercials, and added Danny Bonaducci. Hey, I know. And in middays, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank are Arbitron rated number one. So I promise to stay in my office, build in a bitchin' MySpace page, that way I can't possibly screw up their success. Remember, Pinheads, I built this radio station so there's a place where a guy can be a guy. Music to my ears. And ladies, we love you too, as long as we can get in your slacks.
97.1 Free FM, SoCal's FM talk station. Live from the Miller Lite Lounge, this is 97.1 KLSX Free FM.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, Black Jack's in the mother-effing hay-house. Check it, peeps. We got some cutting-edge humor from Andrew Dice Clay, the creator of NBC's Heroes, Tim Kring, and the return of the same name game. Hey, how about this one for you, peeps? Jack Silver, Long John Silver. We both spent a lot of time around seamen. I mean sailors.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, next up, Stephen Flynn. Stephen Flynn is the author of The Edge of Disaster, Rebuilding a Resilient Nation. I hope he's talking about us. Available now in bookstores. Claims the ports of Los Angeles are vulnerable to terrorist attacks. What? I've not heard about this.
Yeah, I mean, is that a revelation, or is he going to explain ways that we don't know?
I
see boats pull in all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I've owned boats and come back across the border from Mexico from going fishing without mentioning it to anyone, and no one cared.
Yeah, every time I would come down Beechwood Canyon where I used to live, and there's Great a four-way stop sign, and there was a guy parked down a long driveway sitting there, motorcycle cop at 8:45 in the morning, writing chicken-ass tickets to secretaries that were running late to work and rolled through the four-wayer. And by the way, if you don't want people to roll through the four-way, don't put the little sign that says all the way around or four-way or I'll stop. Because when I see four-way, I realize, oh, traffic coming the other way has to stop, and I don't see any of it. But the point is next time you start complaining about not enough manpower to go down and protect the ports, perhaps you should take the guy who's shaking down the citizens who's parked up the driveway handing out chicken-ass tickets all morning. Maybe we could spare that guy from a detail of stopping secretaries and getting $214 for them for rolling through these signs. Possibly. I may be insane. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'm wrong. A lot of these secretaries probably are up to terrorist activity.
Sure.
A lot of them are going to pack that minivan with fertilizer and go to the federal building.
Maybe that $214 is going towards national defense that you don't know about.
I would guess it's going to more meter men.
Yes, me too.
But Stephen?
Good morning, Ed.
Good to speak to you.
Hey, good to speak with you as well. I don't think I want to jump in the middle of the traffic issue.
Where are you calling from, Stephen?
I'm calling from my home in Old Lyme, Connecticut.
Oh, you got your own Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, well, we're ground zero for that tick that's caused a little disease around the country here. But other than that, it's a beautiful little community.
The Lyme disease or whatever it is you got over there. So your former Coast Guard commanding officer?
Yeah, a former commander in the Coast Guard. I commanded a couple of ships back in the early part of my career, and have got a little too much education, I guess, so they beached me, and I've been writing about national security issues and natural disaster challenges. You folks are, are certainly in the crosshairs of both those problems.
Well, actually, I was just reading the information we have on you, so I didn't clearly hear that. I want to make sure I heard what I thought I heard. Did you say you got a little too much information, so they dumped you?
A little too much education.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you got so bright and informed about these things that people didn't want to hear that they beached you. So you know stuff.
No, they just didn't let me drive ships anymore. So I had a great career, and but been focused on these problems since well before 9/11. And actually, a new book I spent time on here is saying, you know, we also got to step back. It's not all about terrorism. You know, especially out there in California, you folks are in the crosshairs of the earthquake and all the major disasters. We can be prepared for this stuff. We can't just essentially imagine that this is all something that's going to happen to somebody else.
Well, it is a strange dichotomy that in a society that does nothing but talk about disaster, we don't do a whole lot of preparing for it. I mean, you watch newscast after newscast about the impending earthquake or terrorist attack. Meanwhile, I'll bet none of those newscasters have a can of beans or a bottle of Gatorade in the basement in case it does come.
Not only do I not have anything, but I've lost all my garage door openers, so even if they were in there, I haven't opened my garage doors in 2 years.
Well, Stephen Flynn, in terms of a health disaster, what should we be concerned about the most?
Well, really, just we have virtually no surge capacity. If anybody's gone to a, and that means we can't handle a lot of casualties. Anybody who's gone to a hospital here in the emergency room, you're lucky if you get a nurse, never mind a doctor after a while.
Right.
If you're in an ambulance in most major city areas, they're circling around like a scavenger hunt looking for the one bed that can take you. We've wrung all the resiliency out of the system. And a lot of the infrastructure we rely on as well, ports are a big part of that, but everything from electric grid, it gets warm in the summer. And what do? We turn our air conditioners off and the lights go out. It's the kind of thing you expect in a third world country or in a war zone like Baghdad.
Well, who's to blame
here?
We're
letting it all fall apart.
Well, who dropped the ball? Who's to blame, and what do we do?
Well, I think there is a classic leadership issue here. One is, I argue, that we've been so distracted since 9/11 trying to go after threats beyond our shores that we forgot to look around at our own vulnerabilities here in the United States. And Katrina should have certainly been a wake-up call, but basically most of us rolled over and went back to sleep.
Right.
And it really is that somehow we're also like a generation who moved into a mansion. We're not going to do any upkeep. You know, it was our grandparents and great-grandparents that built all the infrastructure we rely on to have a modern society. But we're not willing to maintain it, never mind to upgrade it. This is crazy because it makes us vulnerable. It makes us much more fragile, whether it's acts of God or acts of man.
Well, mankind as a concept doesn't really appeal to me. If I don't know your first and last name, you can go ahead and die in a disaster and I'll be fine. Bye, Brian. but I'm sorry. This is the way I feel. What puts me and
Baldy
my family...
Smoothhead. That's
I'm sorry that you can live. Serious biz for the... But the people
fire.
At large that I don't normally, care about, but it's such a devastating event in our ports. What am I afraid of? A boat full of explosives? Is that the thing at our ports?
No, they're bringing it through the ports. They're trucking it on a flatbed to Bonaducci's house, and then they're blowing it up.
See, then I care.
Yeah, that's right.
You've gotten my attention now, Mr. Corolla.
I wish they would just blow up the ports. That would be nice.
Yeah, what you're really going to be worried about is whatever the event is, if the port gets shut down, one of the problems is you're literally going to be out. The lights are going to go out. You only have about, in Southern California, you have about 7 to 10 days of refined fuels in the whole economy. That's in people's gas tanks through what's at the refinery. So basically, you disrupt that port. And here's a very basic thing. Something sinks in the channel, whatever the cause. There's no salvage ship on the West Coast to pick it up and get it out of the way.
All right, well, let me be clear about this.
Stuff.
There's two port issues. One is shutting down the port. The other is the stories you see, 2020 doing every couple of years where they take some spent uranium, they ship it from Bahrain, it goes into the port of L.A., they give it a big thumbs up, and they put it on a flatbed truck, and they truck it through downtown L.A. just to see if somebody could take a dirty bomb, ship it from somewhere abroad
our
country, which they can, and even though these reports come out all the time, nobody seems to be able to do anything about it, which then tells the people that it may be shipping the bomb, hey, big thumbs up to you, Ahmed. But the other part is shutting the port down. And yeah, I don't feel like the government prepares for that. We react to everything, but we don't proactively react to things. And couldn't we have gotten ourselves a little further away from the grid by now in terms of power. I mean, you know, there's solar power. There's other forms of, there's other ways to generate power. It seems like households, especially in Southern California, could be a little more self-sufficient in terms of not just having 7 days left if the port closes down to keep the lights on.
Right, we got the world-famous Santa Ana winds, and I see all those big propellers out there in the desert.
Yeah.
Why can't houses run on that?
I'm all for it, but the fact is you guys consume a lot of juice out there right now, and we're not moving in any of these directions. And we do have, this may be an event of tomorrow. The minimum thing is about having a plan, and I think what's just pretty outrageous is we're this far into this, and our government doesn't have a plan for how to turn the ports back on, how to requeue the ships, and how to get this. It's a global system. It's a bit like when the grid went down, which it did in the Northeast back in 2003. The first time the electric company said, geez, how do you turn it back on? It's after the grid's gone down. There's amazingly basic stuff. It's unfortunately not very sexy. It's not like big, you know, sniffing radiation. It's about people sitting down and figuring out, what are the big, most likely things to happen to us, and what can we do to make sure it has the least amount of effect? I'm trying to make a case of strength, not only being able to deliver a punch, but being able to take a punch.
Well,
and that a part of our society should be, at least the nation that's at war, should be about making sure the home front's doing a little bit to make itself a little more resilient.
Well, what Stephen Flynn, by the way, The Edge of Disaster, Rebuilding Resilient Nation, name of his book, available now. What would you say would be the number one, two, and three scenario as far as the next terrorist tragedy or next terrorist strike on this nation?
Well, I'd actually put the number one most likely thing to happen to us is a natural disaster. And then, so let's remember that the Mother Nature is out there up to mischief. The most, the two worrisome things on the man-made front, the terrorist front, are chemicals. That can be refineries as well, because you can kill a lot of people with the stuff that we use for chemicals. We haven't done much at all to protect those. And in terms of economic disruption, I still put the ports at the top. It's amazing how dependent we are. We're still basically an island nation. I mean, we connect to the world through our ports. And yet most people in Los Angeles don't pay attention to what's on the other side of the hill there in San Pedro. I mean, it's the port that brings in 40% of all the containers.
Well, how do you shut down a port if you're a terrorist?
Well, most of it is self-inflicted. Most of it's when something happens, our response, like 9/11, we shut it down as we're all spooked, and we can't sort it out then. And so part of the issue here is, you want to... Basic thing, we should have some people patrolling routinely in the port. Now, Los Angeles is doing a bit more in this. They now get 200 people. But it's a port with 43 miles of waterfront.
Right.
All right. But on the Long Beach side, there's only about 20 people. So not a whole lot of capability there for just routinely staying out there on patrol, which is an element of this. The cop on the beat makes a deterrence. And if we don't even have that going, you're setting yourself up for some real problems.
Stephen, let me ask you one last question. What about all these stories I used to hear about all these briefcase nuclear devices out of Russia? Now, Russia's fallen apart. These things are on the black market, or so they say. If they're out there and the wrong people are getting their hands on them, how come one's not been detonated yet? Is this a real threat? And what do you think?
There's a good news and bad news part of it. There's so many now espionage agents, you know, our intelligence agents out there shopping for this stuff. They bump into about everybody who's trying to sell it. So that's a pretty good tactic for dealing with it. The real way we should be doing, though, is we know where most of this material is. We know the weapons are. We should be buying up and getting rid of it. But it's not been as much of our priority. We're into hunting and destroying bad guys, but we're not really into thinking about how do we just manage the terrorism issue and manage the other challenges confront us.
So your point is we should purchase the dirty bombs that are being sold by what used to be the Soviet Union.
No, you buy the material. You know what the material is. It's only made in a few places.
Mm-hmm.
You go out and you make sure, you know, what you can, you get buy it up and get rid of it.
And, Stephen, if you're in charge, what do we do with Iran, who looks like they're heading this direction?
Are you really pushing me in the other? I'm basically saying I'm more of a catcher's mitt guy than a pitch, all right? I look where they would come and how they would come and what we could do here at home.
You're going to brush Iran back off the plate?
Now, the bottom line is, I think, you know, it's a scary world out there. We're going to have to deal with these
reasons. Go after
them. we're not going to be able to isolate every threat. So we have to have a part of our strategy being, how do we, you know, it's like fielding a hockey team and forgetting the goalie. We basically, that's what we've been doing. We're out there, and the young men and women are making the ultimate sacrifice for us, but we're not even lifting a finger to protect ourselves in the predictable events. And I think at least our own sense of civic duty or sense of patriotism should be, let's prepare for the things that are going to happen to us that are going to be the natural disasters. Well, at least make that contribution.
Stephen, yeah, I agree. It's not sexy, but the reality is most people in this country are watching the news freaking out over terrorist activity, whereas 99% of them are going to be affected by a hurricane, a tornado, mudslide, a power outage, what have you, and they don't have a drop of water set aside or a flashlight or a couple of bucks. Cash.
Well, I was just going to ask that, and I know we have to let Stephen go, but you're talking about us not being prepared on a societal level. What should we have on a personal level in our home other than the usual water and flashlight? Is there anything we should have that we don't know about?
Well, it really should be, it is about being self-sufficient for at least 3 days, because the lights do go out when we have major events, and that makes you not part of the problems. The way I explain to your family, what are we doing? We're not being paranoid. We're making sure that when something goes wrong, we can sort of hang out and chill out while the emergency responders can take care of themselves. We can do this as our own civic duty. But every place is a little bit different because of the kinds of stuff that's coming your way. But the Red Cross, websites, others give good information. It makes a big difference between potentially thousands of people's lives lost or a few hundred people. That's a big difference for all those people who are saved. We saw what happened in New Orleans when the flood control system failed. You know, maintaining infrastructure is not sexy, but it turns out to be life and death when things go wrong. We just got to grow up as a society here, look around us. And it's not about being essentially paranoid. We'll be a better country for this, I'm convinced, if we just take a deep breath and focus on the real stuff and then get on with life.
Stephen, I imagine you have kids?
I do.
I bet your daughter hates you. Oh, Jesus, Dad, there's a blanket in the car. Now, please, could you be quiet?
The world's going to be a better place when Daddy's gone.
It's our civic duty to have 3 days worth of canned beans.
My kid never says that. The world's going to be a better place because of you, Daddy.
Stephen Flynn, thank you very much. The Edge of Disaster, Rebuilding a Resilient Nation. Yeah, it is true. We love the sensational part of life. We love thinking about terrorists and dirty bombs and all going up. You're not going to go up in a ball of flame.
You're not. I'm with you 100%.
You're going to have a heart attack when you're humping. You're going to die in your sleep. Or there's going to be a natural disaster and you're going to die of exposure and dehydration.
Or you're going to get shot while you're humping because you're humping the wrong person and you didn't lock the gun up good enough.
Much more likely.
There's all sorts of scenarios.
What I don't want to do is have $3 worth of Gatorade and some jerky be the reason I die.
Yeah.
Right. Or wind up radio that I saw in the Sky Mall that I didn't pull the trigger on for $13.
Right, I appreciate that he said that you have to have 3 days worth of provisions.
I have a question for you as a guy and a big guy and a guy's guy.
Mm-hmm.
How long till you go all road warrior and take the stuff from your neighbor?
I already have a dune buggy.
I am not kidding.
Danny, he already has his own generator. Backup generator.
Of course he has a generator.
I do have a generator that works off natural gas. But here's
my whole plan for survival. My next door neighbor is the kid from E.T. Mm-hmm. And he grew up and he's a full grown man, but he still looks like that, so there's just no fear level.
Yeah,
so I'm just going to go there, kill him, and take his stuff. That's my plan for survival.
I didn't think it was going that way.
The earthquake killed... No, Bonaducci choked him.
The lights went out for 2 days. Bonaducci killed him and took all his food and water.
I have a first aid kit. I have, the wind-up radios. I have a lot of battery-operated stuff that has charges on the batteries. A lot of tools and things that runs off batteries, flashlights and things like that. The rechargeable variety. One thing it came to mind a few years back is everyone always says, hey, what do we put together? We put a blanket, get yourself some Gatorade, first aid kit, battery. How about cash? How about some cash? ATMs ain't going to be working during the apocalypse.
My buddy during the Y2K thing took it very seriously and withdrew $500,000 in cash and put it in a safe. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah, but after the apocalypse, you only need a few 20s.
You know what?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
I don't know how I could get to it, but I didn't want it in my house because I knew I'd tell somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot, but for a little bit I got into gold coins. Not collectible because I don't understand it. Just an ounce of gold.
Right.
And I guess I have a few $1,000s worth now, but Gretchen didn't want it in the house, and then I think I told my kid, and I'll bet you told somebody at school, so I wanted it out of my house, so I put it in a safe deposit box. If this all happens, am I going to be able to get to that safe deposit box?
That's the whole thing. I like, again, everyone thinks about stuff they put in them or on them. A blanket, a Band-Aid, some Gatorade, a can of beans, but cash will be the currency, or gold. It's not going to be an ATM card or a credit card. It'd be nice to have at least a couple hundred bucks worth of 20s floating around for the mild disaster that puts all the banks off the grid for a week and you need some cash. I mean, how big an idiot are you going to feel like if you have $4 in your wallet, an ATM card that's not good, it's not worth the plastic it's stamped into, and nowhere to go? So I've got cash. Put it in a safe and got myself some cash. And then the Gatorade and stuff. But Ozzy comes over and works at my house. He drank all the Gatorade that I was storing.
So you've saved a Nicaraguan.
I saved one Nicaraguan, but I put some Gatorade aside. And Ozzy, it's that thing where I used to have guys who'd work at my house that would rip me off slowly.
Right.
I had a friend who used to eat all my Tylenol PM. Now, these are the guys who work at your house.
We have not been friends that long, so it's not me.
The thing is if you're going to rip off just one Gatorade a week so the man doesn't notice it, or just two Tylenol PM a week so the man doesn't notice it, if the man never touches the cache of Gatorade, he notices. Because 11 weeks goes by, and then I go downstairs, and there's one Gatorade left. Because you've only ate one a week. You only drank one a week, but I don't drink one a week. That's the problem. Anyway, a little math on pilfering from the man.
Right on.
I didn't eat any of these Tylenol PMs. It's just once every few months I'd go for one, and there'd be none in there. My buddy Dave ate them all.
It just makes me laugh, the idea of going for a Tylenol PM.
That's like a Pez for you.
I know.
It's just, that makes no sense. It's just...
Are you all right?
I can't sleep. I'm going to go get some for 7 o'clock.
He literally laughs at a Tylenol PM.
I'm not mocking you. I'm mocking you.
No, I agree. I wish I had something harder, too. But
dude, I could put you out for 3 days.
Who wouldn't do it?
Half of Vicodin could put him out for 3 days.
All right. Enough of this tomfoolery.
No more tomfoolery.
Let's continue the tomfoolery then after the break with the same name game. Now, it has been quite some time since we've played, but the same name game goes a little something like this. It was actually inspired when I was watching Reese Witherspoon win a Golden Globe or an Emmy or something, and I thought, well, what a cute little blonde. And then the name Tim Witherspoon popped in my head, ex-heavyweight.
Right.
If he wasn't the champ, he may have been a champ of one of the many divisions they had back then and still do have. But a tall black man who weighed 240 pounds. And I said, I'd like to see Tim Witherspoon stand next to Reese Witherspoon. You could probably tell, even though they shared the same last name, they weren't brother and sister, although one of them was a brother. The point is the same name game was inspired by that thought. Who could be further apart and have the same last name? And Barbara Bush and running back Reggie Bush came into play. We've had some doozies.
Jimmy Carter and Nell Carter?
Yes, we've had some good ones.
Could have been cousins, those two. Are you kidding me?
Your job at 866-901-ADAM is to, to see if you can outdo Tim and Reese. I like at least better than that.
Is that the barometer?
No, actually, I'm trying to think. Brian, if you can, you're good at this stuff. My favorite, I had my favorite, and I can't
quite
recall it.
Was it Charlie Brown and Jim Brown?
No, although those are pretty solid.
Good.
Pretty solid, too. Anyway, same name game, 866-901-ADAM. We'll have ours. You give us yours next on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
97.1. KLSX. Free FM.
Hey, it's Teresa Strasser from The Adam Carolla Show, and formerly have a little decorating show called While You're Out on TLC. And this Saturday, from noon till 2, come and see me at the Home Depot in Anaheim Hills. As my boss Adam would say, come kick my tires, say hello. While you're there, be sure to check out how Home Depot's smart home can make your life more convenient, safe, and fun. They've got over 7,000 affordable lighting, security, and home entertainment products. They've the average do-it-yourselfer install. That means you. So come on down. Home Depot in Anaheim Hills is located right off the 91 freeway on Yorba Linda and Pullman. We are SoCal's FM talk station, 97.1 KLSX 3 FM.
It's that time of year again, Fatty. You overindulged all through the holidays, and now you're full of resolutions about getting in shape again this year. Well, this time, there's a solution that will help you keep your resolution. Fatburn.com. With Fatburn.com, you can eat the foods you like and exercise the way you want, all with the personal guidance of a qualified Fatburn coach who will give you the basic tools and must-know information to understand your body and achieve your weight loss goals on your terms. And best of all, it's so convenient. You can check your progress from any computer any time of the day. Log on to Fatburn.com right now and take the virtual tour. Memberships start for as little as $3.75 per week, and there are no contracts to sign and no forms to fill out. Get started today with Fatburn.com and start getting in shape on your terms with a program that fits your lifestyle, your schedule, and the foods you want to eat. Take control and live your life your way. Fatburn.com.
This is a test.
What is it that you want to do?
We want to be free.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from.
97.1 is now Free FM.
I'm free.
97.1. KLSX.
Tim Conway Jr. here for Santa Monica Subaru, man. Now, everybody knows that Honda and Toyota are reliable vehicles. But did you know that 96% of all Subarus sold in the last 10 years are still on the road? That's reliability. And reliability you can check out at Santa Monica Subaru. The Subaru Impreza received a 5-star safety rating. By the way, that's the highest rating you can get. And the new Impreza Special Edition comes fully equipped with premium sound, also a power sunroof, climate control, and more horsepower than a Civic or a Corolla. You want even more horses than that? Check out the WRX. Comes with 227 horsepower. How about the STI? 293 horsepower. Wow. By the way, the friendly, knowledgeable staff at Santa Monica Subaru will be happy to show you the great features that come standard in a Subaru. Take the Santa Monica Subaru Challenge. If you drive it, you'll buy it.
Santa Monica
Adam Carolla
Subaru
Show with Danny Bonaducci. 97.1 FM. SoCal's FM talk station.
Heidi and Frank, middays on 97.1 Free FM.
I'm making sweet love to my hot woman. I'm poking and sweating, and she's just squirming. Dropping my sponge right in her face, squirting that hot surge all over the place. I say, ugh. I say, ugh. I say, ugh, ugh. Ugh, ugh.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on Free FM.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
Lycus 101.
It's a rather simple and painless procedure. We ask the male to drop his trousers and his shorts down, and then we do a complete examination.
You like it?
No!
Isn't this fun?
And we're not talking about violent crime. We are talking about dating.
Lycus 101.
Lycus 101.
Lycus 101. It's like a refresher course for your cojones.
For your cojones. She's a fat, lazy bitch.
At 97.1.
97.1.
KLSX. Free FM.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. We're playing the same name game.
Yeah, name game.
Think of any two people who have the same last name, but in reality couldn't be more different.
George Washington and Denzel Washington.
Kate Moss, Brandon Moss.
Katie Holmes and Larry Holmes, the boxer.
O.J. Simpson and Jessica Simpson.
Genghis Khan, Shaka Khan.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Pope. Pope John Paul and RuPaul.
Actually, believe it or not, that's interesting. When I was sitting down last night thinking about this, Pope John Paul was one of the first people I came up with because I thought there might be a funny Beatles joke there.
Well, I've got a three-way, RuPaul, Mrs. Paul, and Les Paul.
Yeah, Miss Paul from the fish
nice.
Sticks.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, my favorite, I think, was Deion Sanders and Colonel Sanders.
That was awesome.
Very nice.
Fairly far apart, but enough of us. John, let's hear my favorite intro on this show.
Suck it.
Oh, Dave Damashek.
Is that what Dave did?
That's what he did.
How the hell did I get this job?
Very
I'd like to call that man right now and apologize.
That's
so
what
sorry.
He's asking himself.
Very question.
My
very
God.
Good question. With an assist from Mike, writer Mike, I do
funny.
Believe, in the background. All right, let's... does everyone know Lexington Steele? The huge black porn star?
I do now.
All right. And Danielle Steele.
Yeah, very nice.
That's nice.
Here's one I love. Archie Moore, one of the greatest boxers
of all time.
And Mary Tyler Moore. Let's,
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, you don't get much further apart than that.
I don't know if I gave enough time and thought to the distance between them. Now that I think about it, I think I did one or two, but some of them I just found interesting.
Well,
let's
hear the interesting one, and let's hear the far apart one.
You'll have to decide on which it
all
is.
Right.
I'll bet everybody has done this one, but I just thought it would be fun to find out and research. Adam Carolla and Sam Carolla.
Who's Sam Carolla?
Well, he's also known as Mr. Gizzo.
Mr. Gizzo.
Was investigated by the Organized Crime Division and is believed to have tortured and killed 7 people.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Hold on. Lynette, Mrs. Gizzo. If I pronounce that just the right
spelled
name.
The same way. Yeah. Spelled the exact same way as your name.
Oh, I see.
But went by Gizzo.
C-A-R-O-L-L-A.
Believe me, if I have to hear the, there's a car in my name, one more time, in my sleep,
it's
I hear the
C-A-R. All right.
Interesting.
So he's a, now what era is he
50s.
From? 50s, like Chicago, New York?
Yeah, he was, when I went to print, I realized that the little thing I was reading was not what it was going to print. I just started printing hundreds of people's pages and I couldn't make it stop, so I unplugged things. But the headline was that Sam Carolla, known as Mr. Gizzo, also Gizzo, was investigated by an organized crime unit, and something went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and he got off, but he is fully believed to have killed, maimed, and tortured 7 people.
Wow.
Interesting. I looked up my name, and the only other famous Strasser was a guard in the Gestapo, a Nazi. What
are you all having as much fun as we are learning about this kind
Otto
of stuff?
Strasser.
Your idea of famous is kind of interesting. The other famous Strasser's a Nazi.
We're going to speak to...
Nice to talk to you.
We're going to speak to Scott or Scotch. I don't know if it's a typo or the person's name is actually Scotch.
I hope it is.
Scotch?
Yeah, hi, how are you, Adam?
What's happening? That's your name, huh?
Yes, it is.
All right. Named after Clear Tape. Fantastic. What is your same name game for us?
You and I don't think alike.
Jackie O and Steve O.
Solid.
Solid.
I love it.
Solid.
And look, as far as whether we've done these or not, oh, the 20 times we've played it and the 500 names we've done, if I don't remember it, I'm giving you points. I don't remember Jackie O and Steve O.
Me
those
either.
Two are very far apart.
They may not be that, you know, they're not of different races, but spiritually and emotionally, it doesn't get farther apart.
Yes. Nice job, Scotch.
You're all the way around there.
Thank you, Adam.
Scotch, where are you heading? You going to work today?
Yeah, I'm on my way to work. I'm up in the Bay Area.
What do you do?
Electrician.
Mm-hmm. You do the commercial or the residential?
Whoever's check will clear faster.
Hmm.
All right. Good times there, Scotch.
Thanks, Adam.
See you, buddy.
Let's talk to, let's see, a man.
He's drunk on charisma.
We got, that was a good
nice
one.
Nice to talk to you.
It was a good one. It was a really good one.
We did set the bar pretty high. Kingsley?
Yes, sir.
Scotch and Kingsley. Go ahead, Kingsley.
Sherry Lewis and Emmanuel Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Although,
I don't think our listeners would know Sherry Lewis.
Well, Sherry Lewis had a little puppet named Lamb Chop.
That's right.
And that's why I say it's not as good as the first one, because Lamb Chop was approximately the size of Emmanuel Lewis.
Ah. That's a good point.
Right. If she had put her hand up his, she could have worked in the same way.
I think Sherry and Lamb Chop are both gone these days.
Yes, I
can remember
so.
Her passing on.
I do
too.
Lamb Chop's not dead.
A Lamb Chop's still alive.
It's so much sadder than if Lamb Chop had died because Sherry Lewis's daughter does Lamb Chop now.
So Sherry Lewis, who originally came up with Lamb Chop, is gone, but passed the Lamb Chop torch
and most
to her daughter.
People who live reasonably healthy lives, unlike myself, live to be so old that their kids are old when they die.
Right.
So it's still an old woman with a sock on her hand.
Right. Jeez, it is weird. You know, it's one thing when you have an unfinished furniture business and you die and your 45-year-old son takes it over, who's been doing it since high school anyway. But when it's entertainment, that's a weird one. When somebody just sort of bequeaths their act or their gig or their whatever, their magic act or their puppet.
The Gallagher brothers.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Now, who else has got some story?
All right, Brian.
Brian wants us to move along.
Move it along.
Let's see. We talked to Kingsley.
Sometimes I think he's wrong, but I appreciate that he lets us know it's time we're losing people.
Don't tell him he's wrong. Punch him. Alan?
Yeah.
What do you got for us on the same name?
How about
game?
Bill Goldberg and Whoopi Goldberg?
Mm.
One's a wrestler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid. Solid.
Yeah.
It's better on paper than it is, you know, inside.
Yeah, for some reason, it's not.
I'm not feeling it.
But it's really, visually, you get it. It's good. I just don't know why. I guess because the bar has been set so high today.
Yeah.
It is a weird, it's a strange part about being a human. It's probably the best part about being a human, where somebody says, yes, on paper, this is fantastic. Somehow, it's like a stew with all your favorite ingredients, but you take a taste and you go, And people go, but Danny, it's got all the stuff you love. It's got the tenderloin in there, potatoes, got the carrots, I got the garlic.
But
you love that.
I like chocolate cake, too. It doesn't belong in my stew.
It's in your stew.
I can't have it in stew.
No.
Cake is taken with a glass of milk. That's how you do cake. Not in a stew.
All right. I'm hungry. I think you missed my metaphor. All I know is I want to eat.
All of this almost too exciting.
I'm saying it's in the
stew.
It's in the stew. Every one of your favorite ingredients is in the stew, and you're giving my stew a 5. And I'm saying, why? And you're saying, I can't tell you why.
Yes.
It just doesn't taste that
good. It's
not
working
for
me. And T and I are now both guilty of that because this is better on paper. I'm not moved.
Right.
Yes. Can I get us back on track? Because I have, this is my new thing now, 3 ways. That's the only thing that will satisfy me. C.S. Lewis, Carl Lewis, and Daniel Day-Lewis.
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis.
Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis, the
Daniel
runner.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Solid. A little heady. A little heady. Put it in the stew.
Yeah,
give it to Dan.
It in the stew.
Okay.
He'll ladle it onto the cake. Chris?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, you guys. How you doing today?
Good. Here's one that's going to hit close to Danny's home. Go ahead.
Just for Danny. Susan Day. Mm-hmm. And Morris Day.
I like
it.
Excellent work.
Nice.
That is good.
That is nice.
And I think completely fresh. I've never heard that one.
No, and the thing that's nice...
Well, they're not as far apart as you would have thought. There was a while there that Susan Day was, in fact, a woman of color.
Really?
Unfortunately, the color was orange, but yeah.
She was orange.
She turned, was anorexic before anybody knew what it was, and all she ate was carrot sticks, and it's a real thing. It happens to other people. She turned bright orange. We couldn't film. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah, well, it is weird how a mug of carrot juice will turn you orange.
Well, that's awesome for like a year.
From keratin or whatever's in there?
She came back from hiatus, which is what vacation is called in show business for some reason.
Right.
And she was orange, and we couldn't shoot her. We couldn't shoot her. We had to paint her.
Yeah, she didn't eat. Yeah, I saw the whole Partridge. I love all that sort of behind-the-scenes stuff, and I remember that as part of it.
I do, too, because I don't remember most of it. Though I do Danny Bonaducci, E! True Hollywood Story, and I'll go, dude, that's right. I was there that night. That's bitchin'.
And she was in love with Keith Partridge.
In real life?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Were you in love with her, Danny?
No, but I did see her naked.
Good enough. What happened?
I climbed on the roof of her dressing room and stood mean over the curtains till she finally got naked.
Well, you know, the same thing that happens on the set is the same thing that I always say happens in American homes. A lot of people, almost everyone these days, are getting divorced. Everyone almost these days has kids from their previous marriage.
Right.
Because if you're married in your 20s, well, what percentage of people get married at 22, stay married for 10 years, and don't have a couple of kids because
right.
of it? Then a lot of people take a few years off, especially the guys, are like, oh, I'm not going to get married again. And then somehow they get to 38 or 40, and they go, well, it's time to tie the knot again. Well, now you take two teenagers. You got the 16-year-old son and the 15-year-old daughter from different marriages, and you go, hey, meet your new sister. Now, come on aboard.
Right.
We got 2,000 square feet. You guys are going to have to live together with your hormones going insane.
Right. We used to watch the Brady Bunch. I used to think if all those Brady Boys weren't gay.
Should we take one last same name?
All right, wait a minute. I want to hear one more. My point is if you take a couple of...
Take a stand, God.
I'm taking a stand. You take a couple of good-looking teenagers, you put them on the set 14 hours out of the day, and how long is it going to take before one of them falls in love with the other, especially when one is the super dreamy with the oversized puka shell, Keith Partridge.
Now, he had an oversized puka shell from what I've read.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's in his book. It's legendary. Yeah.
He calls it the donk.
The donk. It's famous.
He calls his conch shell the donk?
Yeah.
The donk?
Donk.
The donk.
I think it's short for donkey.
Suck it.
Now,
even though that sounded kind of like me, I did not just say to suck anything on David Cassidy.
All right, let's try. Let's do two more. Let's see. We'll speak to Josh. Josh?
Yes, sir.
Same name game.
I've got James Earl Jones and Jenny Jones, and for a three-way, Tom Jones.
Nice.
It needed to be a three-way. That saved it.
I got Randy Moss and Kate Moss.
Good. Very nice.
Carson Daly and Tyne Daly.
I had Carson Daly.
And Sharon Stone, Oliver Stone, but both nutty and actors, or in Hollywood at least.
Then how about this? Homer, who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey and is the father of modern literature, not even modern, ancient literature, and Homer Simpson, a beer-guzzling
strong.
Idiot.
We'll be right back.
Strong. That's one of those I thought it out too far things.
Let's do one last one. I think we're going to go out on a high note here.
Okay.
Jim?
Yes.
I have. Same name game, brother.
Dave Thomas and Isaiah Thomas.
Dave Thomas of...
From Wendy's?
Yes, of Wendy's.
That Wendy's, Dave Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas, coach of the New York Knicks.
And Isaiah. Good. Solid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut bait here on a solid 7.5 to an 8. We have an outro?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Same name game. Same name game, motherfuckers.
I need this guy's number.
That was the closure I really needed.
I need to call this guy and say, I'm sorry, I didn't deserve it, I don't know who I greased. I feel shame.
Well, same name game, a classic, no matter who does it. T.
Yes.
The news.
Well, some controversies brewing based on what happened on Bill Maher's show, and I'll be very interested to play you guys a clip and see what you think of it. Mm. Also, we'll have a little bit of Howard K. Stern's eulogy from the Anna Nicole funeral. And Trump. The Apprentice had been slowing down, but Trump had a very interesting firing last night. I'll play that for you.
I was looking for The Apprentice last night. I couldn't find it. Isn't it on Sunday night?
Yeah, it was on.
For shizzle.
All right.
That was him last night.
Well, and I'm curious, because I was watching the Bill Maher show. I'm curious, what was he talking about? Also, I got some personal stories coming up. I had an experience at the movie theater over the weekend that was very Corolla-esque, and also many thoughts on the marathon, which just took place about 12 hours ago in this city. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with the news next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. More with Adam Carolla
Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Coming up, The Adam Carolla Show.
Between my favorite radio station
and my favorite radio station,
there are even more.
But you can only discover these hidden stations with an HD radio.
With HD radio, you can explore new digital territory and hear expanded content from the stations you listen to now.
You'll find a world of music, news, and talk unlike any you've heard before, at a level of fidelity you haven't heard before either.
Best of all, it's completely free. All you need is an HD radio.
So find out what's between this station
and this one.
HD radio.
Discover it.
97.1 KLSX Free FM, an equal opportunity employer, is dedicated to providing broad outreach regarding job vacancies at the station. We seek the help of local community organizations in referring qualified applicants to our station. Community organizations that wish to receive our vacancy information should contact Jennifer Baker at 97.1 KLSX Free FM by calling 323-930-5271. In addition, all listeners are encouraged to visit cbsradio.com for an online listing of job openings at all CBS radio stations.
06 Titan King Cap Model 1516, all in stock, MSRP 26,925. Nissan rebate 3750 at a discount 3750, sale price 19,425. Plus government fees and taxes, any finance, dealer document preparation, and emission testing charges. Stock 6428-64219. Sale ends March 31st.
Start your savings, Southern California! Cerritos Nissan, going for the world championship! The world's largest Nissan dealer! To close the fiscal year end during our national sales race, Cerritos Nissan will sell 300 Titans in 3 days. Doubling factory rebates, 7,500 off MSRP. Automatic, tow package, equipped, not stripped. Every Nissan Titan XE discounted for immediate sale. AC, power windows, equipped, not stripped. Yes, 7,500 off MSRP. 20 million bucks has been secured just for this event. Call 1-800-NEW-NISSAN. 1-800-NEW-NISSAN. Or see us at CerritosNissan.com. Going for the world championship. The world's largest Nissan dealer. 15 minutes from anywhere at the world's largest auto square off the 605 and South Street. Cerritos Nissan.
This is KLSX from Los Angeles. SoCal's FM talk station. 97.1. Home of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci Mornings. Streaming online at 971freefm.com.
Blasting on air.
97.1.
97.1.
Free FM.
Powered by Hornitos Tequila.
So, you think your life's got drama? Listen to Frosty, Huddy, and Frank.
I'm going to have carrot cake at my wedding
Isn't
if I get married
one day.
Isn't
it supposed to be like angel food or
No, like it could be anything
cake?
You want.
Carrot cake?
It's your wedding.
You know you're having carrot cake, so you have planned something.
I said if
You said when I get married, I'm having carrot cake.
I'm sure I'll be married one day.
So who's all going? Are we invited?
Oh, shut up.
Where are you getting married?
What are we talking about?
Have you shown the little thing that goes in the cake? Any trouble finding that?
Are you going to invite us? Are we going to get an invitation?
Hell no.
Why not?
I'm probably busy, but I'd like the invite anyway. Just to say
that. Frosty, you're upset because you were fourth on the list in Groom's, and we're not even getting invited to the wedding.
I don't even know why I brought this up.
What, you flying to Mexico if that's where I was hypothetically doing it?
Who would get married in Mexico?
You're going to be in Mexico.
I'm going to be in Mexico. I thought maybe I'll just crash that thing.
Little puddle jumper. I'll
jump over there and see what's going on. A little skywriting. Congratulations, Dyke.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. The show for people who like to listen to other people talk about the crazy drama in their lives. Middays on 97.1 Free FM.
If you love Italian food, like I love Italian food, then you've got to know about Pomodoro Cucina Italiana. Italian is the default setting in my culinary world. When in doubt, it's the cuisine that always works. And at Pomodoro, they serve food just like what you'd find at the casual trattorias of Italy. The restaurant is the creation of master chef Adriano Paganini. Drawing upon his years of experience throughout Europe, he's created a down-home Italian restaurant with a menu that's elegant in its simplicity. He wants Pomodoro to be your second kitchen. And to do that, he's built locations throughout Southern California, each warm and inviting, with a sort of caring service that makes a great meal that much better. This is a restaurant to go to for salad caprese, pane all'aglio, and ravioli di zucca. Wait till you taste the tortellini soup, the spaghetti polpette, and the grilled salmon with cannellini beans. There's a fine wine list, Italian sodas, even sublime coffee at Pomodoro Cucina Italiana. For the location nearest you, go to pastapomodoro.com.
The Free FM streaming experience is powered by the great taste of Miller Lite. Always a good call. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Always live responsibly.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds. Let's go behind the scenes as Frosty, Heidi, and Frank prepare for today's show.
I feel bloated today.
You look bloated today.
Thanks, Frank.
You know, every time my girlfriend say I feel fat, I just agree with him. It's the only way to shut him up.
That's kind of rude, isn't it?
I wasn't telling you to shut up.
Yes, you were, in a roundabout sort of way. You
shut up, shut up, shut up!
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Now I'm insulted.
Good.
KLSX.
The Adam Carolla Show, and now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy. Today's topic, stem cell research.
Do I believe in the advances of science? Sure, but it's a slippery slope. One day, they're using the cells of discarded embryos, and the next thing you know, it's your daughter's 13th birthday, and jackbooted thugs are storming your house and dragging her off to work at government-sponsored embryo farms, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it!
That was Slippery Slope Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It's true.
I almost always have some level of belief in Slippery Slope Guy, by the way.
Right.
I always think that there's a possibility he could be right.
Well, if you take a look throughout the history, you know, people are now onto stem cells, but they used to be into transplants or even right. blood fusions. You know, the idea a few hundred years ago that I would take your blood and put it into my body, that for a lot of people meant I was you. Hey, they wouldn't do it from race to race.
Right.
Just a few years ago. You're not going to take the blood of a black dude and put it in a white dude.
That was a super controversial episode of MASH.
Yeah, so there you go. We're talking mid-70s or as the Korean War, 50s, 60s. But the point, or I should say 50s, the point is things that were taboo, considered crazy. Look, a man, they thought a guy couldn't go over 100 miles an hour. He would explode. We're talking about 100 years ago. When we talk about breaking the sound barrier, we thought, who the hell knows what happens? You may just evaporate when you break that.
770 miles an hour, boom.
Boom.
That's it.
Yeah.
The problem, Danny, is once you start believing in Slippery Slope Guy a little bit, next thing you know, you believe every single thing that the Slippery Slope Guy has to say.
Okay, you
and
realize,
I think that's
of course, that's
Thank
the
you.
Slippery slope, what
yes.
you just said.
That's my point.
T.
Subtle humor.
T.
Sometimes too subtle, yes.
I didn't think it was humor. I thought it was brilliant.
T.
The news.
What's going on in the news, baby doll?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
You guys might recall when Bill Maher got himself fired from his old show on ABC, Politically Incorrect, for what he had to say in the wake of the September 11th attacks. Friday, he had some guests on his show, Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO, and he was talking about Vice President Dick Cheney being the target of an unsuccessful bombing while he was visiting Afghanistan last week, and he brought up the fact that some people on the internet had responded to a blog entry about it on the Huffington Post. There were some really angry bloggers saying that he should have been killed, and the Huff Post pulled down those posts. But meanwhile, a discussion ensued on Real Time with Bill Maher, and it's been controversial. Here's what went down.
I have zero doubt that if Dick Cheney was not in power, people wouldn't be dying needlessly tomorrow.
Okay, but
let's talk about yourself very quickly. If somebody on this panel said they wish that Dick Cheney had been blown up, and you didn't say
I think
any...
he did.
Okay. Did you say
no,
that?
No, I quoted that.
You don't,
okay.
Oh, but, you don't
but
believe
if,
that?
If some, no, I'm just saying that if he did die, more people would live.
Okay, then
that's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Bill Maher does. He's entitled to his opinion. A lot of people say, a lot of people that watch Bill Maher have said to me, that guy's ripping off your material. he's listening to you and then doing it. And I always said, no, he's not. We just basically atheists who think somewhere along the same lines, although
right.
I'm definitely not as misogynist as he is.
No, you're definitely not.
And we don't think along the same lines in many ways, but in many ways we do.
And I've never seen you be carted in to do an interview.
He was carted in?
Oh, my God.
Just oh, really?
Draped over me.
You yeah. mean intoxicated?
Just comes straight from the Playboy Mansion, wasted out of his mind.
Yeah, he's a super narcissist who's very good at what he does, so be it. And he has controversial opinions, that's why he's not on network. He's on cable, so be it.
Exactly.
I don't think he's super good. I think he's good.
Okay, yeah you're right. All right.
Fair enough.
Well, here's one of the things. I don't think, you know, when he does jokes, when he does the jokey monologues and things like that, it's not that great. It's
right.
It's B-list. And B is fine.
B's
I'm not
fine.
Talking C or D.
That.
I'm just talking B. But when he does a political show on HBO where he can speak his mind and he's always well-informed, or at least informed enough to make his point strongly, he does a very good job in that format.
Yeah, the shows can be great. I just don't find Bill Maher... great, like one of the great minds
right.
of our age.
Well, that's why I'll put the caveat at what he does.
Okay.
Yes.
I won't go, this guy's great. I'll say he's great at what he does.
Fair enough.
Another great mind, Howard K. Stern.
There we go.
Eulogizing his beloved Anna Nicole Smith at the funeral last Friday. But before I play you a snippet of that, Virgie Arthur, Anna Nicole Smith's mother, she was responsible for the funeral being about an hour behind schedule because she filed some last-minute papers in the Bahamian Supreme Court to try and stop the funeral.
Right.
They shot
her
down.
Bahamian Free Court, by the way, is on wheels. It's a cart. It's being pulled by two donkeys. The regular court's just pulled by one donkey.
Have you ever been to the Bahamas?
No.
If you go to the Bahamas, there's two
or
three streets
drunk. Yes.
That you'll just go, oh, my God, this is paradise on earth. And then there's street number four, and the third world begins.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, take a listen to this. This is the sound of Virgie Arthur walking into her daughter's funeral and being booed and heckled.
Listen, my mother was booed at my grandfather's funeral. It's
no
a tradition.
Deal.
And this is why
How
you
would
name,
I know that?
This is why you got to name your kid Lou. Because if he, whether it's the funeral in the Bahamas or he becomes a major league ball player, when they hit the stage, you just say they're yelling Lou.
Yes, Brian, you remember Tyrone Lou from the Lakers? I always thought they were great.
Right.
I always thought they were booing Bruce Springsteen with the boss, with Boss. I always thought the whole crowd was booing a guy.
I'm going to name my next kid Lou Boss Corolla.
Nice.
That's good.
And then everyone will yell, you suck.
Well, Howard K. Stern seems to have an unholy alliance with Entertainment Tonight, who were mysteriously granted exclusive access to film inside the church.
Yeah, granted, just like if I spent $500,000 bucks, I could grant myself a Bentley.
Yes, they are denying that that Howard is being paid by them. Though it does seem mysterious that they're the only ones with access.
Well, granted, like a government grant.
Grant, that's what I was thinking.
Right.
Exactly.
A couple of Ulysses S. Grant. He's on money, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, from Entertainment Tonight,
I think.
From E.T., here is a snippet of Howard K. Stern eulogizing his beloved Anna Nicole Smith.
I can't believe that you're gone. You're not here to protect me anymore. And honestly... sometimes I don't know how I'm going to go on, but I know that my work isn't done. I still have to protect you. I have to protect your wishes. I have to protect your name. And most of all, I have to protect Danny Lynn.
Who put the music behind it?
E.T.
Yes.
Nice. Well, a lot of people thought she was a cow, but it was Howard's cash cow that died.
Yep.
People always remember that. Wow. Where's she moving on to?
I don't
He's
know.
He's not
next.
Going anywhere good. He'd be a laughingstock in any court, and he hasn't practiced in years anyway.
Yeah.
He's going
on to hell. But what? I feel like
he's
going to
be Hitler's lawyer and try and get him an appeal.
There's somebody he should glom on to, some other sort of faded celebrity chick.
Huh.
She's probably going to have to move a little older.
Zsa Zsa?
She's right for the picking, and that'd be a nice sort of full circle.
And there's a certain career in it. The guy's name escapes me for the moment. You'll both know it immediately. The guy who lived on O.J.'s couch.
Cato.
Cato. Cato Can probably made $1 million before he faded.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, he was on this radio station we're on in Los Angeles.
For no reason. Why was Cato Can on any station?
Was that program director Jack Silver's brainchild?
You know what? It's not necessarily a bad idea. I got in radio because of that reason. I was a novelty. I had just been arrested. I was in big trouble. This was in 1987 or 8.
But they heard you speak. I mean, I can remember, Danny, working at Always Better Closets out in Burbank, industrial Burbank, with the born-again Christian gangbangers. Me and 10 gangbangers working in a factory in Burbank. It was good times. And I remember listening to Mark and Brian, the morning radio station up the street from here.
Right.
And I remember hearing you on Mark and Brian and thinking, wow, this guy's pretty good. This guy can talk. So somebody heard you talk before this. They didn't hear Cato talk. They hired Cato because everyone knew who Cato was.
Tonight would come.
Yeah, and that was fine for the first week. But the second, look out.
So last night on The Apprentice, there was an automobile-themed VIP event. That was the challenge. The reward, they got to rap with Snoop Dogg. I won't play that for you because it's not—it's not even so bad that it's funny. But the boardroom was very interesting. Derek kind of mouthed off to Trump, or maybe he was just trying to be clever. I'm not sure, but it didn't go very well for him.
I would like to do it, but I'm not the Lexus customer. I'm white trash. I only eat at restaurants with deep fried appetizers. So I know I'm not the Lexus.
What do you mean you're white trash?
Well, I'm just joking about
that. What does that mean? You don't joke about that. What does that mean you're white trash?
I don't joke about it.
I grew up in a small town.
Oh, it gets worse.
That's a medical condition, Trump. White trash.
That's a pretty stinking statement.
I was a little,
don't you think that's a pretty bad statement about yourself?
No, not necessarily. I don't think people take that seriously.
It doesn't sound flattering.
Do you go around calling yourself white trash?
Do
you think I want to hire somebody that's white trash?
No. And I say it as a joke sometimes. And
I don't like it as a joke. You know what, Derek? You're fired.
I was surprised. I didn't think it was a big deal to say white trash.
It was no big deal. It's one of those blowhard moves to latch on to nothing and make it into everything. And these people don't defend themselves correctly, which they should say, it's called self-deprecating humor. A lot of people find it disarming, and it's a nice conversation.
I think the word white might have thrown him because there's an implication that therefore you might say black trash. That you might be, if you can tell the difference between a person of color who's bad and your color, I am white trash. That implies there is black trash, and Donald Trump can't have that.
It seemed like Trump wanted to fire him anyway.
I didn't see the episode. I'm just guessing.
The guy could have defused it immediately with the right syllables strung together in the right order, but they never do.
But that would mean that Trump would have to have in his head, I have a better firing than this.
Right.
He had that locked and loaded and ready to go, no matter what that guy said.
I think you're right. He was waiting for the guy to trip up. Meanwhile, over the weekend, a 39-year-old from Garden Grove out here in California, which is in Orange County, she last Monday felt some stomach pains. She went to the emergency room. Doctors x-rayed her. They didn't know what was wrong. And the doctors came out and said, you're pregnant. And she didn't think she could get pregnant, so she was very happy. But they said, no, you're 9 months pregnant. You're about to have a baby.
Definitely not a Jew.
you're creeping so far into my head, girl. It's killing me.
I know.
2 days after this, she just went in there for a stomach ache, and 2 days later, she gave birth to a healthy 7-pound, 7-ounce baby boy. She and her fiance had no idea she was pregnant. She'd stopped having her cycle.
You're a great big fat person.
Yes, she was 420 pounds.
Well, I didn't know the fat people ended up. I knew skinny people. My wife didn't have a period for like 6 years because she thought she was too skinny. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know fat people had the same thing.
Well, when you're pregnant, I'm not sure what the story is, but she stopped having her period because she was pregnant.
Oh, I thought she'd stopped having her period in general,
When you stop, somebody ought to raise a, pardon the pun, red flag. It should raise a red flag, right?
But she had stopped 2 years previously.
See, that's what I was asking.
Because of the weight.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it is weird.
Who knows why.
Look, with all that weight, maybe her... maybe her vagine just got pushed shut.
Yeah, that might be possible.
Your thighs are so big that you're actually sealed like a manhole.
If you're so thin you can't have it, it's because I guess there's not enough pressure, there's not enough places for the blood to go. With too much body fat, you might have to disperse too much blood.
Yeah, I think when you're thin, in that thin, your circulating estrogen goes down. But then when you got fat, well, who cares?
This is amazing.
Hey, the point is, she is a real thin chick that never had her period and still wouldn't just break it out. That made me crazy.
Oh,
she could do it anytime. She was neat looking and still wouldn't break it out.
Size zero and never
big
having
set of
a period.
C-cups I bought her.
And wouldn't give it up. It is a shame. Now, also part of the thing about heavy, when we hear this story about two, three times a year, the super fat chick
right.
is pregnant, didn't know she was pregnant. There's an underlying part that no one really talks about is when people see the 450-pound chick, they go, nobody's hitting that.
Wrong.
You know what I mean? Yes, I know. But people do a sort of super fat chick math, and they're like,
right.
please. She hasn't been laid since the 70s. Nobody's.
So when she went to the ER, that
right,
wasn't
so
the first thing.
Nobody ever goes check on, you know, if you take your average woman who's, you know, 28 years old or held, was she 32 or whatever it is, pregnancy is part of the maintenance, or
sure.
at least the discussion with the doctor.
Before you walk in the door, because they might have to x-ray you.
Right.
So, are you pregnant? Could you be pregnant?
When the 400-and-something pounder squeezes through the door, nobody talks about pregnancy because people do the math.
In fact, they were x-raying her at the time. I mean, they didn't even think to take the precaution
it's
of not
a prejudiced.
X-raying.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a married woman, and even then, they're not asking.
Yes, engaged, but very close
mm-hmm.
enough. So at the box office, this surprised me because that Wild
Hold
Hogs
on.
Thing. Yes.
You're 420, and you're not married yet. Because most people
they're
keep
engaged.
It off
yeah, that didn't get better.
until they take a little roll down the aisle, and then they
Literally.
Start packing it on.
So you think after getting married, she pushed up to 600?
I'm just saying, let's do the math.
It's not good.
Most chicks are hovering around 125, 130, then they get married. That's when they balloon up to 170, 180, a few years into that. Or they have a few kids, the marriage goes on for a little while, they start replacing whatever they're not getting with their husband, with Sarah Lee, and there you go. Now, you start at 420, have the kid, have the marriage, you're up into, three or four metric tons at this point. Should be 6,000 pounds
okay,
this
I'm
time
not
next
quote
year.
The guy, but that text I showed you a little earlier,
yes.
Somebody's in the Dice Clay's coming in, and it says, I went and saw Andrew Dice Clay, sat in the front row. He called my wife a fat whore. How did he know she was a whore?
Oh, no.
That's
Wait,
my
I,
buddy
may
right
may
there.
May I briefly say this
yes.
on the Andrew Dice Clay subject before I get to the box office? Producer Angie, a little nervous this morning, because her ex-boyfriend, Man Cow,
yeah.
and Andrew Dice Clay were very good friends, and
that
she was worried that maybe Man Cow had called Andrew Dice Clay and that he would come in here and do something mean to Andrew.
She tastes so much champagne.
And I said, Danny's not going to let that happen.
That'll last for one friggin' second, promise. Go ahead and write me your letters that I think I'm Napoleon, such a tough guy. I'm promising you that'll last all the one
Andrew
second.
Andrew and I discussed that this morning. We said, good thing Danny's here because he's probably not going to let any...
But I don't think he'll do it. Last time I saw him, and I hope he's better, last time I saw Dice, he was really depressed.
Well, this will be interesting. I look forward to meeting him.
Tears of a clown.
Yes, exactly. But as I was saying, Wild Hogs, number one movie at the box office.
Were you saying that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
John Travolta, Tim Allen, Martin Lawrence, and William H. Macy made $38 million.
I got to say, once in a while about this country, the terrorists have a point. We went from Ghost Rider to Wild Hogs. The worst movie in the world was replaced by the second worst movie in the world for number one.
Yeah, number two is Zodiac, but you know, number one made $38 million. Number two, Zodiac, only $13.1 million, and number three, your favorite, Ghost Rider, hanging in there with $11.5 million,
which is now in 3 or 4 weeks had to make almost $100 million.
And Norbit still at number six. Sorry.
I don't even know what it is. Is that the thing with Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Yes, and the movie I still want to see, Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant in Music and Lyrics at number seven.
Well, let me say this. I know Ozzy and Ray are going to come in here and do their Zodiac review in a couple of 8 o'clock hour. I'll just go ahead and tell it quickly now. Or actually, we'll take a break and then I'll tell you the story. I went and saw Zodiac. I had a very Adam Carolla-esque experience at the movie theater.
Did you go with your wife?
Well, that was the problem. That was the problem. That's what started the whole thing. And there's certain things that I think once I will think it, something negative, I will will it.
Right.
It will happen.
Manifest destiny.
Yes, yeah. people do this. They drive down the road and they go, oh, look at that pothole up there. I better miss it. I don't want to hit that. I'll dent my road. Oh, I'm in the pothole.
Right.
That's how people drive. That's how people's lives work. They see a pothole in the distance. They go, I better keep an eye on that pothole. Next thing you know, their cell phone rings. And next thing you know, they're in the pothole.
I'm very curious what Adam Carolla thinks is Carolla-esque, because I don't really know him. I'm looking away from you. That's why I'm not talking.
All right.
You're not here. I don't really know him that well. When I describe him, it's almost always in big positives. If I said a very Bonaducci-esque thing happened at the movies, it's a bad story. So I'm wondering what a Carolla-esque story is.
Well, you will find out.
Ooh,
next
dice.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Don't go anywhere, because there's a lot more coming up. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
Ooh, Carolla.
The Adam Carolla Show.
97.1. KLSX. Free FM. Tom Likas. Free to say, well, what you're already thinking.
Are you one of these bitches who constantly calls, sends text messages? I mean, constant.
How do you make it fun?
Are you married? Do you have a girlfriend? What's the deal?
No, just a girlfriend.
Why don't you just put your foot down and say, stop it?
Yeah, that doesn't work, Tom.
How sad is that? You're staying with somebody because you can't get rid of them. I call these women human lint.
Yeah.
Can't brush them off no matter what.
The Tom Likas Show. Weekday afternoons at 3 on 97.1 Free FM.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. The one sitting there typing away on the computer. Want to hear something that's more interesting than that big project you're currently working on? Wiener Schnitzel's offering up their world-famous 2-for-$2.22 deal. You get a delicious chili cheese dog and a tasty chili cheese burger for an amazing $2.22. You may want to turn those tiny little speakers up there so you can hear me better. I said $2.22. That's right. For a limited time only, you can enjoy a juicy burger and plump dog topped with Wiener Schnitzel's world-famous chili and cheese for a measly $2.22. I bet you got that lying around in your desk. Heck, as an additional bonus, they're throwing in a buy one, get one free coupon. If you open your internet browser right now, you can download a buy one, get one free chili dog coupon. So, you got your deal, you got your coupon, now all you need to do is eat. But let's face facts here, a deal this good and this delicious isn't going to last long. So get up from your desk, let the screensaver do its job, and hurry into Wiener Schnitzel today for its world-famous 2-for-$2.22 deal. Only at Wiener Schnitzel, where they're pushing the boundaries of taste.
Tom Likas.
First of all, the reason I like you so much is because my ex hates you so much.
That's how you know I'm doing it right, pal.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'll tell you, I listen to you every day on my way home from work and sort of look at you as my exercise in tolerance. You're just sort of like a train wreck I can't turn away from.
Why is it always assumed that if you do not give somebody the key to your home, and an American Express card and a car, why is it assumed you're going to be a lonely old man? I'm anything but lonely. I've got friends. I have fun. I travel all the time. I'm always out doing things.
Yeah, but nobody loves you, Tom.
Oh, nobody loves me, dear. Everybody loves me.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for your advice. Let me tell you, I'm just going to keep listening to your show. And although I was a Likas 101 failure, I'd like to ask to be accepted back into your class. Is there a seat available?
KLSX. Coming this Saturday, for the first time in Los Angeles, women fighting in cages. Fatal Femmes. It's the first ever all-women's mixed martial arts championship cage fight at the Japan America Theater in downtown L.A. this Saturday night at 7:30. Fatal Femmes. The hottest female fighters from the U.S., Japan, and Mexico, including Lisa Ward from the U.S. and Masako Yoshida from Japan, will be climbing into the cage for 8 bouts of all-female mixed martial arts mayhem. Don't miss it. Get your tickets at etix.com. Fatal Femmes Fight. Or call 877-FFF-9381.
Meet us in the cage. If you can take it.
Fatal Femmes.
Fatal Femmes. This Saturday night in downtown L.A. Log on to FatalFemmesFighting.com. Or call 877-FFF-9381.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci on 97.1 KLSX Free FM.
I can't wait to see this, because I haven't seen this yet. One of the sales guys and my boss came up to me and said, hey, are you willing to have your 1967 convertible GTO painted by Earl Scheib? Well, I grew up with the Earl Shadle paint your car for $59.99. That's, you know, that's how I knew who he was immediately, and it's like not where you went for the best paint job. So I was kind of hesitant. And my boss told me, if I can tell the difference between a paint job that was well under $1,000 on my goat from a $5,000 paint job, he'll buy me a $5,000 paint job.
Wow.
So I guess they've improved something. The paint jobs start as low as $259.95. Mine was, when I say under a grand, I mean like way under, like under $900, maybe even under $800. And that's their top of the line. There's like four of them. But Earl Shive Machine, don't let the old, you know, the name from when you were a kid hold you back. I go to my boss, and he's a stingy bastard. He'll give me a 5G painting, paint job, if I don't love this Earl Shive, and I'm betting I will.
The Splashy.
It's the loudest afternoon talk show in Southern California history.
Who the hell are you calling?
Tom Likas, 97.1. 3FM.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
Home with Tom Likas.
Tom Likas.
I listen to Tom Likas because he's the voice of all men.
Make driving home from work fun.
I don't give a rat's ass how you proceed.
I graduated Likas 101, man!
Likas 101, it's a way of life.
Oh, yes.
I'm wanting to go to one of his listener parties because I heard you like signed breasts.
Baby.
Likas makes me want to flash the entire 405.
Oh, really?
Tom Likas, weekday afternoons.
Oh, yeah, baby.
On 97.1.
97.1.
KLSX, free FM.
This Thursday night, the Adam Carolla Show is live in Las Vegas for the Miller Lite Rockin' Racing Weekend, featuring Miller Lite NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, the number one Asian big boob queen Minka, 40 of the hottest strippers in Las Vegas, and Carrot Top, Thursday, March 8th at the Palms Hotel, fueled by Sauza Hornitas Tequila, TravelWorm.com, Subaru, and Miller Lite. You'll hear everything Friday morning. Good times. The Adam Carolla Show.
Go down, gambling.
Well, Andrew Dice Clay will be in just one moment. But first, a story from over the weekend.
Who is number one?
Ah, Minka. We will be together. At last. Quickly, before we get to the weekend Zodiac movie-going, very Adam Carolla-esque story, or at least what I assume is a very Adam Carolla-esque story, or what feels to me to be very Adam Carolla-esque. I was just leaving the bathroom here, and I saw the huge pile of paper towels which gather on the backside of the door, because when the door opens, it sort of sweeps them. Now, what these paper towels are, we've discussed them before, people have phobias. They don't want to touch the bathroom door handle. So instead of touching it with their hand, they do one of two things. Some use their foot, which then means I get to touch the handle because I'm sane,
right,
and I didn't formally think there was any urine or fecal matter that was on the handle, but since you've decided to use your goddamn loafer to open the effing door and you've been standing in a puddle of your own filth, now, yes, I do get the whiz on the hand because you've used your loafer to open the door like an evolved human being, you a-hole. But
is
secondly,
your loafer Ozzy?
Is my what?
Is your loafer Ozzy?
Ozzy's my loafer. Yeah, I use okay. him to open every door. I pick, but I don't tell him to open the door. I pick him up and use him like a ramp, like Daryl Gates breaking into a crack house. Point is there's a huge pile because what people do is they use the paper towel as some sort of gasket between their hand and the invisible world, opening the door that way and then releasing that to fall to the ground, to make a huge pile, then times however many idiots use it. Listen, first off, what is wrong with you goddamn people? take a, you know, listen, whoever did that in this building, do me a favor. Next time you take a whiz and you're going to use a paper towel and then you're going to drop the paper towel onto the floor to, after you open the handle, so you can have a nice guy from south of the border come in and clean up after your white ass. Do me a quick favor. Please stop between the urinal and the door. There's something there called a mirror. I beg you to look into it. Please look into that mirror. Please take a good hard look at yourself and realize you're a 40-year-old guy who drops the paper that he uses to open the handle with nothing on it. Please take a good look in the mirror and evaluate yourself, you a-holes. I don't mind you being paranoid. That's your business. You're not going to get anything from the handle of the bathroom. We're now so worried about the invisible world because right. We've taken care of food and shelter. We control nature. Sure, it's 40 degrees outside, but it's 80 degrees inside my house. Or sure, it's 108 degrees outside, but it's a nice, cool 69 inside the house. We've controlled that. Now we're freaked out about the invisible world. But listen, a-hole. Take the paper towel. It's your problem. Don't make it Armando's problem who has to come in there and clean it up. Take the paper towel that you've used to open the door and drop it into the trash can, which is right by the door.
That's what I've always noticed. You can hold the door open with your foot at that point. Once you've done it with the paper towel, hold it with your foot, reach over and throw it away.
Fling it open and walk through and do it in one smooth motion.
Of course, I never noticed this till I followed you out of the bathroom and you started to rail against the paper towel.
There's a huge pile of paper towels. On the floor.
I looked away and thought, here we go.
And look, or look, folks who do this, if you're, don't stop there. Just open the community fridge, open a yogurt, fire a snot rocket into it, and put it back. Just keep going, please. Why stop at this one a-hole move? All right, speaking of humanity out of control, I went to see Zodiac
right. This
weekend. Had a plan. The plan was I was going to go with a friend and his wife, and me and my wife, we're going to go out. We're going to do a little couple thing. We're going to go to dinner. Then we're going to go see a movie. So this person bought the tickets online in advance at the Arclight Theater.
Your beloved Arclight.
Wow. I love my Arclight Theater.
I love my Arclight Theater.
Because of the assigned seating and whatnot.
I don't like it because of that. Everything else I like.
And then the question came, well, what if, Lynette, what if my wife can't make it because we can't find a sitter or whatever the situation is, because this is early in the day, and I say, green light those tickets. I say, go ahead and buy four of them. If she can't make it, I'll just eat the ticket. We've discussed it. She's not going to go if she can't make it. Fine. So it turns out she can't make it. So now I have an extra ticket. And I think to myself, what should I do with this extra ticket? Should I return it and get my $14 back? And then I thought, no, you know it'd be a nice power move? I'll eat the ticket. And I'll have an empty seat next to me. I know the theater's packed. It's the Arclight. It's Zodiac. And it is packed. It's the release, the first weekend. It's a Saturday night.
God, I can't imagine.
Whoever, I love this.
Whoever bought the ticket told me, yeah, the whole row is filled up.
Right. You could have bought the whole row. That's a power move.
So I said, this is Elvis-esque.
Yeah.
I'm having the theater shut down. But this is a power move. Because, look, if you have money, who cares? I mean, if you make a decent living, so what's the difference between $14 and $28? Sure, it's twice as much. But like I said, if you got a few nickels to rub together, why not? And now you get to spread out. You don't have that thing where you have the community arm thing, or that thing where the person, you see them looking at you out of the corner of their eye. They turn their head. You're looking at the screen, but you can still tell. And I have my hypervigilance. So hypervigilance is not only on top of everything, but peripheral vision is everything. Someone next to you eating popcorn will screw you up in terms of watching the movie. So I go, screw it. I'm going to eat the ticket. I'll have a nice open seat next to me. I'll be the only one in the row with an open seat. And then I think to myself, wait a minute. This is you. I bet someone is going to sit in that seat. And then I think, wait a minute, it's the Arclight. That's not going to happen because they have assigned seating and the theater will be packed and everyone will have their seat and I have my seat. Now, if this is, Southwest Airlines, someone's going to sit in that seat.
For sure.
If it's somewhere where it's festival seating, someone is sitting in that seat. But these are assigned
seats. You own that seat?
I own that seat. No one's going to sit in that seat. And now we see the previews and I'm stretching out. I got my elbow crossing the DMZ. I'm taking advantage. I'm actually laying horizontally across my feet over there. I got a nightstand. I've turned on a stereo. I'm moving into that seat. I'm using it as storage at this point. So I have, and then the movie starts, and it is we get a couple minutes into the movie, or just the beginning with the graphic, you know, in 1968 the city of San Francisco was paralyzed, and oh, someone's coming into the aisle.
You see him.
Oh, hypervigilance.
I see her because she's a lot of woman.
Oh no.
She's a big gal with bigger hair.
Uh-oh.
And she's making her way in.
Person.
And I'm thinking, where's this broad going? And she's got a little bit of the crazies. Now, look, as a human being, you can sniff out crazy.
Yeah, even in the dark.
Yeah, it's like, how do you know when a dog is going to bite you versus a dog that's friendly? You just sort of body language, and you look at them, and you can tell why the way they're walking and stuff. I'm that way with crazy. I detect crazy like it's like a carbon monoxide detector.
When I walked in the room the first time, I could actually hear dinging in his head.
Sure, it's colorless and odorless, but you
know
it's there.
But I know it's there. So I'm thinking, well, where's this bitch going? As far as I can tell, we're all full up. And sure, she stands in front of me for a beat, so I can't read what's on the screen. And then she plops her big ass down right next to me in the seat that I paid for.
Did you say anything?
No.
Yeah,
you said nothing.
I say nothing.
You built up to answer that question that quickly?
I say nothing. And this is how I work. I would never. This is what makes me a great neighbor. You could be throwing a party next to my house till 5 a.m. in the morning with Kiss playing, and I would never call the cops. The downside is you could be being stabbed by crazy ex-husband. I wouldn't call the cops either. I wouldn't do anything. I've never. She'll sit in that seat. Now, I don't know what percentage of people would have said, excuse you, but I did not. And then and said somebody was coming. Yeah, but she probably had a guy or a girl or something a seat or two over. Or see, she would have gone back to her seat and then seen that nobody ever sat in that seat. And then I would have had to feel weird about it for the whole movie. So she sat in there and proceeded to open her purse no less than 1,500 times and check her cell phone from within the dark sanctity of her purse. You know, but she was oozing crazy. And it was a 2-hour and 45-minute movie. And she was like shifting around. And I was now bumped by this because every time she moved, every time she checked her cell phone, I was like, oh, good Christ.
Right, this is your moment.
This cost $14 for this?
This is not about the $14. This is about the power that the $14, it could have been $1,400. This is a special moment at your Arclight Theater where you own some real estate and it was taken from you.
And this is why. Now, the Corolla-esque part is the part where I thought, I got a plan. And then I thought, who's going to ruin it?
And then you made it so.
I made it. I willed a heavy set. Not a spokes model.
Nope.
Not a guy from the football team in high school. A heavy set, crazy, crazy haired woman who had to keep checking her crazy cell phone to see if any of her crazy friends had called. And I want to know what you guys would have done. Would you have said, excuse me, I paid for that seat?
No.
Would you? Why not? I did pay for it.
Right, but that is not what I would have said.
Because it would have been an a-hole move.
Yes. It would have looked, yes. But I would have said something. That's just not what it would have been.
It would have been, I'm saying, I paid for that. Someone's coming back.
My wife will be here in a little bit.
Right.
I said that we're having sitter problems. Sorry about that.
T.
I think I would have probably did what you did. I would have been silently resentful for about 10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah.
But not said anything.
My last trip to the Arclight, I literally probably got about as far from me as Brian, so 6-7 feet, is checking his texts, and that's a very bright light.
Mm-hmm.
And I just yell, dude, you're killing me with the phone. That loud.
On the upside, though, I think now I'm on to something new, which is if someone were to ask me out on a movie date, but buy 4 tickets and just say, I want you to have some room for your popcorn. That'd be nice.
I wouldn't even go out with that guy.
You're
a loser.
Basically, that would guarantee you a $14 Hummer. That's what it would be.
I don't know.
What a power move, guys, who are going on a date. Yes,
right?
You go, I mean, you would melt if the guy said, I bought 4 seats, we'll sit in the middle too, and we'll spread out. Or even better, I bought 3 seats, I left an empty one.
Yes.
Next to you,
I
my
love
dear.
That.
Better than opening the door, better than saying how good your shoes
look. Do all 3.
Yeah.
He and probably said something, you are so beautiful, I'm probably not going to do it with my boyfriend tonight. That's what it's like. It's the gayest thing I ever heard.
Come on. Well, it's a grand gesture, Danny. It's up your alley.
It is. But that's not a grand gesture. That's like, look how hard I work to figure out something to impress you.
Women like that.
You throw down a $500 Armani over a puddle of water, you're just an idiot. You know, nobody does that. Just walk around the puddle. You got to wait on those moments.
Adam, I'm sad Lynette didn't get to go to the movies with you.
Yeah, huh?
Well, I forgot all about your wife.
What about me? Punished by that heavy set woman. All right. Me and Sir Walter Raleigh are going to take ourselves a break. Andrew Dice Clay. He's not going to throw any.
Angie's looking nervous.
Any blazers down over any puddles. Andrew Dice Clay, next in studio on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
97.1. KLSX. Free FM.
On Monday, March 12th, Danny Bonaducci will be hosting the March on Stage benefit for Music Rising at the Hard Rock Cafe at City Walk. Get your butt out there and meet all 51 contestants from the Miss USA pageant and hear the tunes of Gretchen Bonaducci's band, the Mudflaps. And if you want to hang out backstage with Danny and Gretchen and all the beautiful Miss USA contestants, just go to 971freefm.com. You might win VIP passes. Music Rising is a charity set up by The Edge from U2 to replace instruments lost in Hurricane Katrina. Now you don't have to worry about all those trombones that blew into the ocean. For more info, go to hardrock.com. We are 97.1 Free FM, SoCal's FM talk station.
From Baghdad, it's the Amal Bin Laikas Show.
Oh my God, stop the bombing!
And now, here he is, Amal Bin Laikas.
Thank you for not stoning me to death. This is not your regular jihad propaganda, no! It's a different kind of jihad. It's a jihad that is not hosted by a weapons inspector or an insane dictator, no! Mustafa, you're on the Amal Bin Laikas Show. Hello.
Oh, greetings, Amal. I just got flashed on Dirt Path 27. She showed me both ankles.
Oh, really? Were they clean?
Oh, I believe so. I would like to take myself out suicide bomber style.
Go right ahead, Mustafa.
Goodbye!
Nice, Mustafa. Chicks dig that.
Tune in tomorrow for another wacky, Iraqi edition of Amal Bin Laikas.
Come over here and let me sign that weapon of mass destruction.
When you own a small business, you wind up wearing a lot of hats. Manager, bookkeeper, salesman, and IT guy.
I think it's just a loose cable. Try rebooting. Somebody get some candles?
If you find yourself working on your network more than you're networking, you need help. You need Anmar Information Systems. They're the IT guy for small business. As your business grows, so do your computer needs. Networks, servers, firewalls. Who wants to mess with all that? You've got your own work to do. Anmar keeps your systems up and keeps them secure. And crashes. Anmar can retrieve and restore your data. And make sure that you never suffer data loss again with their exclusive NetVault. With NetVault, you'll have a live backup of every key file on your system with remote access. Now that's peace of mind. Meet your new IT guy, Anmar Information Systems. Give them a call at 866-99-IT-PRO. That's 866-99-IT-PRO. Anmar Information Systems, 866-99-IT-PRO.
Lips could talk.
Like lovers do.
He said, she said, bullshit. Talk to me.
Talk to me.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Everybody's talking about
sex. Everybody's talking at me.
Always hoping you wouldn't talk to me.
Talking about the
leadership. Talking about.
KLSX,
97.1 KLSX,
3 FM,
SoCal's FM talk station.
Yeah, Laser Eye Center. I can see I got 2020 vision. It's Barbara Walters. I like the way she says she'll go 2020. Nobody, you know, she should be doing these spots.
She enunciates very well.
Yeah, she really does. She doesn't listen so well. Learned that from watching The View, but great enunciation. When you get old, you just go, screw it, I ain't listening anymore. I'm going to walk around in my house coat and slippers, and I'm done listening to anyone under 60. Laser Eye Center, they listen. You go in there, they'll talk to you, and they'll fix you up. No problemo. Right now, get no payments and no interest for 12 full months. That is almost a year, kiddies. No interest, no payments in 2020 vision. Just call 880-LASER. That's 880-LASER. 880-LASER. 15 convenient locations, free consultations, lasereyecenter.com.
Southern California's FM talk station.
Boogers and toe jam.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was my girlfriend when I was 13.
97.1 Free FM.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
Living with depression, it's an exhausting condition that makes just getting through the day difficult. If you're depressed, you probably often feel hopeless and sad, and things you used to love doing become more like a burden. You stay home and quit answering the phone. You don't sleep well, which makes it hard to do anything. You try to give your best at work and then fall apart at home. Fighting depression is a lonely battle, leaving you tired, hopeless, irritable, and guilty for hurting those closest to you. Hi, I'm Dr. Wilcox, and if you're depressed, we encourage you to call PRI today to learn about our newest confidential antidepressant research medication study. Participants receive all research-related care plus complimentary aftercare, all at no cost to you. We understand depression, and for over 30 years, we've been working to help find better treatments for it. This is an opportunity to potentially help yourself and other people as well. Calling PRI is the first step. We're at 888-PRI-HOPE. 888-PRI-HOPE. That's 888-PRI-HOPE.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider, he sat down beside, he said, hey, what's in the bowl, bitch?
From the new VH1 reality show chronicling his comeback, Andrew Dice Clay on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Dice.
What's going on, Adam?
I can't
believe the clip you're playing, though. You know how old that is?
1990.
No, that one you just played has got to be about 82.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now you know how I feel when they play I Think I Love You.
I've gone through three different voice octaves since then. You know what I mean?
You've grown up, you've matured a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going, it sounds like me as a 10-year-old.
Well, let's start at the start, Andrew. You were like the biggest grossing comic of 89, 90, or maybe ever, but... Where did you start, and then how did it take off?
Where did I start? I started out in Brooklyn at a club called Pips Comedy Club in Brooklyn. And I really wanted nothing to do with stand-up. You know, it wasn't what I, you know, was into.
What were you into?
Performing, acting, and I just figured instead of going to, you know, acting school, I would hone characters on stage.
So is Dice a character that you used to do stand-up?
You know what? Dice, years ago, was more of a character. Today, it's my name, it's my persona, right. But I'm more myself on stage and just giving my take on different things, like you just did about people going to the movies, the assigned seats, and,
right.
You know, I mean, the voice used to be more like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I never lost my Brooklyn accent, I never lost my Brooklyn attitude. But Dice was more like, hey, what are you doing?
Well, people...
You know, it's
people,
that kind of thing.
And people do this, and everyone in this room has experienced it, which is they go, are you really that way? And you want to go, well, I'm not really that way, but it's not a character.
Yeah, make it up. It's part of me.
Yeah, it's very hard to explain that, especially when you are from the East Coast and you have an East Coast way on stage. You know what I mean? So it's hard to explain, like, what I'm like as, let's say, a father or... or a boyfriend or a husband.
But that's what you're doing now with this show, right? You are chronicling your whole
definitely.
Life. And you've been doing it because I was in a room because I executive produced a show.
Yeah, tell them what happened.
You came into a room to pitch to a co-executive producer, but I don't really do it. I just get the title.
Yeah, what happened was I did this show years ago.
The other half.
4 years ago. Yeah. The other half, which Danny was on, and he had a production company, and I said, I want to come up. I want to show you these tapes that I've been filming myself. I was going through a rough breakup with my wife, and he watched like a 40-minute tape with one of his producers, and he actually stood there and said, I've never seen anything like
That's
this.
That's exactly what I said.
Because, yeah, just like my son is filming now.
Right.
You know, I film everything.
It's like a video diary of the past 10 years.
He broke down crying, and there's two grown men producer guys in the room, and Andrew Dice Clay sitting there being totally normal, but the guy on the television sets having a legitimate breakdown about his wife.
Yeah, I was
wild.
When I first started filming, it was more like therapeutic when I was going through the breakup.
Right.
And then it developed into a show.
Well,
and then years later, when I went to Fox with it, you know, they said, so in other words, you're filming a show that nobody asked for. And that's how the whole thing started.
Well, that's what every documentary is.
Exactly.
Nobody asked for it. They just filmed it.
Yeah.
So now, but again, I'm just going to go back and move forward. So you hit the stage, you're in Brooklyn, and things start taking off for you. Are we now in the early 80s at this point?
No, I actually, by February of 79, moved to L.A. and started performing at the Comedy Store.
That's why I know you're from the parking lot of the Comedy Store.
Right.
And when does the whole Dice thing hit?
Well, I'm going to tell you what happened. That's when I started seeing all these stand-ups like Leno and Seinfeld and, you know, guys like that,
right.
Paul Reiser. And what got me was, you know, the stand-up was all cool, but I felt no heat from these comics as far
as... They're cerebral.
Yeah, well, you know what it was? There was no excitement. You know, I grew up liking exciting performers rather than comics. Guys like Elvis, when it came to the drums, Buddy Rich.
Right.
You know, rock bands like Led Zeppelin. So what I wanted to do was add more of a excitement to stand-up.
Right.
You know, which every comic hated me for that. You know, because they went, you know, this isn't the singing store, or because I used to do like Travolta in Greece, and you know.
Can you still do it?
What are you talking about? Can I still do it?
Caller Sandy.
And rolling. You know, so I would, but at the end of Travolta, I would start doing like. See, hear what happened that day at the beach. Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me. That's all I'm giving you. That's just extra talent, I guess. That's extra.
I'm sorry, I'm tone deaf. So try to go with
how weird is it that Dice was the one that could sing?
I'm tone deaf.
So a lot of comedians look at people who are doing a show, almost they're looked down their nose like they look at prop comedians
like
to say,
exactly. Who makes bazillions.
But by the way, the audience goes nuts when anybody sings or does impressions, yes?
Yeah, they love
right.
it. So that's how it started out with the impressions. And, you know, through watching stand-ups, I started now giving my point of view of what I was seeing out in Hollywood.
Right. So
that's where the whole gay material came in, you know, that I, you know, when I would do the bisexual stuff, you know, heads out, I can't do it. I know I can't do it on
right.
me.
Right.
You know, trans testicles, all that, you know. But, you know.
In the controversy that erupts from this, were you surprised by it? Because it's not like we're in the 50s. I mean, Lenny Bruce had been in the ground for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Were you surprised that there was all this controversy Saturday Night Live?
I was surprised only because when I was coming up as a comic, when I was just like headlining clubs around the country, rather it be in Dallas or New York, you know, they gave me these great write-ups. They would give it headlines like the Hoodlum of Yuma,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of stuff, the Bad Boy of Comedy.
Right.
And the day my career took off, the day the Dice Man Cometh aired on HBO, the New York Times wrote, the demise of Western civilization.
They said that about my TV show, the exact same quote.
The comedy of hate, you know
right.
what I mean? And even when I would do interviews trying to not explain my comedy but who I was, you know, they would just write about the act rather than the person, was pretty frustrating.
One article that I read in the 80s, I believe, was 89. I was reading a Playboy. It was probably during my refractory period. And I did read an article with you. I think you had 20 questions. Maybe it was 88, 89, something like that. With the Dice Man. I remember you said that, look, this is a character that I do. This is not me. I'm not prejudiced against, you know, gays or Jews or blacks
or
whatever.
You know what it was? I would say the word character because I was just this lightning rod for the entire media to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have, that's what I would say, but I was trying to explain, like, there are more sides to me than the comic on stage.
I have a semi-different opinion, though, of why you got all the flack that you got, because Lenny Bruce, who was one of my heroes, and I went back to his tapes, and he really wasn't that funny.
Hold on, a guy reading his court transcripts verbatim for an hour and 45 minutes stoned is not hysterical to you?
Even early, he wasn't that funny. But I think the difference is out of people like that and Lenny Bruce and Red Fox was a real barrier. You're the first guy that ever said, hey, bite, how about I come over there and kick your ass, reporter guy? Everybody else just took it. You were a frightening guy.
Yeah, right. but that's how I get when I'm on stage.
Yeah, but I mean, that was real life, too. I remember you outside in the parking lot. You didn't take a lot of crap.
No, I don't like when people come over and smack my back or look to, you know, make like I'm their best friend in the world. If somebody approaches me nicely, you know, I'll take that picture, I'll take that little video. But if a guy tries to come over and muscle me, you know, I get real, I have a very... which we share, very bad temper.
I don't think you share one. I think you both have, too. Teresa and I share one. Yeah. We both get half.
You know,
you guys have two or three of your own.
You know, you got to look at a guy and go, don't you know when you're looking into the eyes of a wolf? Back off. I had a problem last night. Last night was the debut of Dice Undisputed.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a beautiful party. They showed two of the episodes.
VH1 Sunday Nights, by the way.
And I was having a great time, and all of a sudden this guy gets in my face. And the first time, I tried to be nice, and then after that, you know, it became a problem.
Well,
you know?
Who was this guy?
Just some guy that got into the party, and it's like, I'm there with my kids. My kids are on the show, and I will play absolutely no games when my kids are around.
Mm-hmm.
I will not take a chance at all. I'd rather break the guy's back than see something happen to my kids, and that's it.
Right.
You know, it's just who I am.
Unfortunately, the guy was just waving. Dice gets all
like, he jumps
over.
The
guy came over, he goes, I just want to say, the show is nice.
This handsome fellow who's in here is your 12-year-old son, Dylan. He's on your show, Dice Undisputed. And you have other kids?
He's not in school, he's on the radio. I'm
sorry, what is your name? His name's Dylan.
Dylan, let me ask you a question. My daughter, I did a show, something like your father's, and kind of freaked her out at school for a while. How are you with your dad's show being so personal and open?
Not many kids know about him at my school. Well, at least I don't know, so...
Yeah, the show just aired now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't born when Dice was on the top of the chart.
If it's a hit.
They know a lot of my history, though.
Right.
They know a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, because as a 12-year-old, you would tell your parents to pick you up down the street just... because they didn't want to see Dad pull up in the VW Squareback with the Jufro in 1974.
Right.
I couldn't imagine having a dad that was on TV yelling at people.
No, he's a different kind of cat. I mean, he's a great rock musician, you know.
Really?
What
are you playing?
You know.
Guitar.
I know.
Nice.
But, I mean, he writes all his own music. He listens to the radio.
And you have a daughter as well?
No, I have another son,
another
16.
Son? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So just to keep the chronology going, you it's now the mid-80s, I'm pushing ahead a little, you're having success, things explode for you in 88, 87? 88.
The night I had on the Rodney special was February 13th,
88. And that was it?
That was it. I went from 200-seat clubs to arena status.
So you're doing arenas, you're doing Madison Square Garden.
Every arena in the country.
These are huge events now. Now we get to when? When does it start to slow down?
1994 is when the arena thing slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was doing, you know... I did tour after tour. I couldn't even think of names for the tours.
Right.
You know, but the agents would push, you know, get it while it's hot, you know.
That's not an unreasonable thing to say.
No,
really.
But you, also, when you hit that kind of status, it's not even like a comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a rock star type
of
thing.
Right.
I never had a chance to breathe and get used to the fame part of it.
Did you make enough money to never work again?
At that time, but then I spent it, you know, like everybody does.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I've made enough money to live forever 5 times and I'm broke.
Yeah, that, it's just what happens. You buy houses, you buy cars.
Yeah, right.
You know, I had a gambling problem for a long time with blackjack, so I'd play for hundreds of thousands at a clip.
He'd bet and continue to sell out in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Bad,
yeah.
Bad.
What's the most you lost?
$800,000
Really?
Yeah.
Holy
cow!
But I could go back the next morning and win close to $1 million
Right.
You know, I would play blackjack the same way I am on stage, fearless. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was watching Elvis, some retrospective on Elvis over the weekend, and you know his manager Colonel Tom Parker was a notorious gambler, and I thought, of course, when you make $1 million for 2 weeks' work, it's real easy to gamble. I mean, when you're making $6 an hour for digging on a construction site, you don't want to pay $3 for a beer. But when you make millions for nothing, and I thought, this guy is not even doing the work. Tom Parker, he's Elvis's manager. Right. He's making millions, and he don't leave his hotel room. How much easier could it be to gamble?
I played the Pechanga Resort, and I made a good chunk of change for one night. It cost me $1,100.
Because you know it's that much. It's that much easier.
You do stand up, not all the time, but you do it.
But so Andrew, now things are starting to slow down. We're getting in the mid-80s, and what happens?
Well, it's not the mid-80s.
I'm sorry, mid-90s.
Yeah, what happened was, to real make a long story short, this is where actually the tapes came in. I was going through a bad marriage, and when that ended and I moved out, it was way more important for me to stay at home and take care of my boys and make sure that their minds were right. And
I
left.
You left.
And I had no career goals. I would go out and I would do gigs.
Right.
But it wasn't like I'm going to be the biggest thing in the world again.
Right.
Just go pay the bills, bottom line.
Right.
You know, but I kept filming. I wrote an autobiography. I went and I recorded another album.
Mm-hmm.
And just to talk about the show, what the show really is, you know, it's yes, I show some of my home life, but I also do what I call coming out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I really retired. I was making a living.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always had this thing that I want to do something really incredible that surpasses what I do. So I want to go and I want to do Giant Stadium.
Right.
Which is, you know, 100,000 people.
Yeah, George Foreman 10, 12 years ago, didn't want to come out of retirement to have a few club fights.
Right.
He wanted to come out of retirement to be the heavyweight champ
and do something tremendous. And, you know, I give credit, like people are always asking me, let's say, about Dane Cook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I watch how other comics, you know, I don't know the words, they step all over this guy, you know, and it's like watching these guys do what they do.
They don't like it.
And I'm always asked, what do you think of Dan? I go, look at his success. That's what I think.
Right.
Anybody that works that hard and anybody in show business knows how hard it is to get there. So, and that's the thing about me. When I was coming up, I didn't step on nobody. I didn't care what other people. You know,
hold on. I don't think we got bleeped out.
I'm thinking, you know, I don't know the word to use.
Whizzing.
You know? Whizzing all over this guy.
Right.
And I'm going, you know, they go, he stole this bit. I go, well, why didn't you tell him that 10 years ago when you saw him do it?
Right.
But today he's doing, you know, big places, giant places. Now you want to step on him.
Well, comedians are horrible vindictive.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, no,
small
comedians
people,
hate each other. There's no camaraderie.
But I think you're
another
right
thing
about-
I try to show in the show, that there is no camaraderie amongst comics. You know, I know Seinfeld did a thing and everything looks nice,
right,
but comics never look to help each other. They never back each other up. They stand in the back. You know.
Look, the reality is everybody hates everyone in their profession. Doctors hate other doctors who are on TV. Lawyers hate other lawyers. And comedians not only hate other comedians, but comedians are wounded people. 90% of them are angry, vindictive, wounded, damaged goods.
And if they're good at their job, they're also witty. So you get a damaged guy in pain, and he opens his mouth in your direction, it can be really unpleasant.
Well, speaking of wounded, I wanted to ask you, you touched on your divorce or your breakup being very difficult. Did you go through a depression after that?
Well, obviously. I mean, I didn't feel good about
it. I saw the tapes.
I mean,
yes,
he's got some heavy moments. I mean, you know, you can't sleep. You never know when you're going to see your kids. I mean, at the beginning, it's really rough.
Right.
You know, but what I did, just like any comic, I'd get on stage, And I start talking about it and rebuilding a show and coming up with bits, which I, you know, talk a lot about in this reality show. And then you start getting strong again. And I go, you know what? I'm going to do something nobody's ever done.
Nope.
Because I'm the only one to ever fill all these arenas. I've done countless arena shows.
How does it look, by the way, just because we're running out of time, on playing Giant Stadium?
Well, I figure I'll do it by this summer.
You'll do it by this summer.
So that's the chronicle of the show, is to get you to fill Dodgers.
Well, that's my personal aim. That's something I want to do because not just... nobody ever would talk about... you know, who I was as a person, and I'm all about achievement and believing in myself. That's why I got choked up on Arsenio years ago when I tried to tell people, hey, look, I'm a regular guy that really believed in myself. But back then, you know, I got choked up because it's always being on trial. Who's Dice? Who's Andrew? You know.
Right.
So, you know, I'm trying to do something not just for myself and show my kids by example, but I also want to do something in this country when I hear, and I'm not a political, I'm not one of these political activists, but when I hear people go, you know, because of war and all these things that have happened since 9/11, and they go, this isn't the country it was. I look at them, I go, what are you, out of your mind? We're the greatest country in the world. You could go out, you could become and do and live whatever dream you want to live.
I'm with you,
man. And that's what I want to prove by standing on stage in front of 100,000 people and doing the most vile, vicious act.
I was rooting for you to the very end.
Because there's one thing that didn't change, if there's one thing, shut the music or I'll smack you. I'm telling you something.
No, you're free to smack Bob Bryant.
No, well, if there's one thing that didn't change, I mean, you're asking me legitimate questions, so, you know, I'm not doing my act here, you know. Is that the act, hands down, is better and stronger, and, you know, people are responding. There was absolute mania when I perform again.
Right, so it's not going to be some sad vestige of Andrew Dice up there warming over stuff from the late 80s.
No, this is, it's new stuff, but it's got the same voice, which I know you understand.
Right.
And, you know, it's angry.
Greg,
you know, because that's how people are.
Speaking of angry, a guy who didn't get laid growing up in Boston. Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Greg Fitzsimmons is calling in. Greg.
Hey, what's
great
happening?
Comedian.
What's up, Dice, man?
We got about 20 seconds, Greg.
I just wanted to clarify. I think a lot of the critiquing of Dane Cook has to do with, you know, rumors about him stealing jokes. And I think that a lot of that stuff really came out on this last album. And I don't think... I just want to clarify because I do think that a lot of that came from camaraderie. I think a lot of people were very defensive of the comedians who they felt had been stolen from by Dane, and it was pretty well documented. So,
are you saying that Dane Cook is a joke thief?
I'm saying that those are the allegations that have made him unpopular.
I'm just saying when comics are complaining about their stolen bits, why didn't they complain to him before he got to where he got?
Because they're not you
because
and me.
Because the album just came out. The album came out a year ago.
Ah, so Greg, you
no,
say
no, but this is the guy that
Dane
played
Cook.
The clubs, and you know everybody.
Dane Cook played the club every day for 20 years.
I mean, you know, so I'm just giving him nothing but respect, and that's it. And if these guys had a problem, you know, with him, they should have said something before he got to an arena
I say
status.
Cook is stealing from Mencia, and Mencia is stealing from Cook.
I say Greg Fitzsimmons is very diplomatic, but I think I hear what he's saying.
All right, Greg. Hey, Greg.
All right, thanks.
Listen, don't be dejected, buddy.
No, I'm not dejected. I just want to say I think there's also a difference between judging somebody on their commerce and on their art. And to say that I respect him because, look, he's selling out theaters, well, that's a different agenda than I judge comedian on. I think it's more about...
Are you a comedian?
Yes. It's a very good
Are
comedian.
Are you making a living at it?
Am I making a living at it?
Do you make a comfortable living at it?
Probably about as much as you make.
All right. Sorry, Greg.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
That's true.
All right, so yes, Greg Fitzsimmons, is his voice is ringing out on behalf of the artiste out there.
He makes a good point. I mean, Yes, Dear might have been a popular show.
Store.
It doesn't make it good.
But I agree.
I'm saying it's one of
the
best
ones. That's what I'm saying. It's all the guys playing video stores and bowling alleys that, you know, get mad at this stuff.
I made a joke about it, but one of the best minds I know is Carolla. And Carolla got on a show called Crank Yankers about puppets making crank calls. And all I can do is think, he got it on.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! He got that on TV. That's genius.
Well, thank
you. Because that's all I've ever tried to do is get shows on.
I love Frank Yankers. I love the man show. I didn't even get a chance to question you at all.
Well, unfortunately, we're way late. Dice Undisputed is the name of the show. VH1, Sundays, 10 o'clock. Last night, they'll rerun it throughout the week.
Yeah, 18 times usually.
Support Andrew Dice Clay, his big comeback. It'll be the story of the year if he sells out Giant Stadium.
I'll go.
We will, if you don't sell out, at least get naked and run on the field during a Giants game. Take a quick break. Be back with Music Monday. Best and worst strip club songs. Oh, this is going to be good. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci coming up on The Adam Carolla Show.
If you work or have worked for a company that copies software illegally, that company is breaking the law. The Business Software Alliance is offering rewards of up to $200,000 for qualifying software piracy leads. Join a growing number of people who have received rewards from the BSA for reporting software piracy. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or visit nopiracy.com. Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $200,000. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or visit nopiracy.com.
97.1 KLSX Free FM, an equal opportunity employer, is dedicated to providing broad outreach regarding job vacancies at the station. We seek the help of local community organizations in referring qualified applicants to our station. Community organizations that wish to receive our vacancy information should contact Jennifer Baker at 97.1 KLSX Free FM by calling 323-930-5271. In addition, all listeners are encouraged to visit cbsradio.com for an online listing of job openings at all CBS radio stations.
This is KLSX Los Angeles, SoCal's FM talk station. Home of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci Mornings. Streaming online at 971freefm.com. Blasting on air, 97.1. Free FM.
Powered by Scores Los Angeles, soon to be downtown at the Score Gentleman.
This is Nick Alexander, LA's number one BMW and Mini Cooper dealer. As I mentioned in December, my daughter Elizabeth is on maternity leave, and she asked me to come out of retirement and keep an eye on things. By the way, she delivered a beautiful, healthy baby boy. Dylan weighs 8 pounds and 1 ounce. Well, thank God, I hadn't forgotten how to wheel and deal as I never wheeled and dealt before. We set a sales record in December. Now I've got to keep up the pace until Elizabeth returns. So I have some awesome January specials to celebrate our newest grandson. Example, lease an 07 BMW 328, just $349 a month. Plus tax, 36 months with $37.87 to start. Just $349 a month for a 3 Series. Or own a pampered, certified, pre-owned, low-mileage 2004 7 Series, $12,000 discount from Kelley Blue Book, with over 3 years left on the factory warranty, stock number 285. Plus, we have our largest Mini Cooper inventory ever, with several priced under $20,000. So call now, 800-800-NICK. We're centrally located all of Southern California, the wholesale district. That's 800-800-NICK, and remember, Nick still can't say no.
Conway and Whitman. They're, on at night.
This is Paramecium on the Tom Likas Show. Hello. Yes. Women are cheap. Right you are. And do you have one cell? Really? You just need to get laid. But not more than $40. Thank you, Paramecium. Is Amoeba on the Tom Likas Show. Hello, Amoeba. Yes. Uh-huh. One working cell. Yes. Well, at least you're not paying vagina money, Amoeba. Here you go, Amoeba.
The Conway and Whitman Show, right after Likas on 97.1 KLSX Free FM.
You know who L.A.'s coolest cat is? Felix Chevrolet and Cadillac. They got deals, man. Felix has a Cadillac CTS for just $299 a month. You just got to put up $33.99 due at lease signing, and there's no security deposit required. Now here's Wanda, the fast-talking midget, with legalese info.
A installed 2007 CTS 2.80 with automatic transmission with an MSRP of $31,770. 39 monthly payments, total $11,661. Option to purchase at lease end for must be determined at lease signing. GMAC must be free.
Cool.
Take delivery by 2/28/2007. Mileage charge of 25 cents per mile or 10,000 miles per year.
Yeah.
Lessee pays for maintenance, repair, and excess wear. Not available with other office, tax, title, license, dealer fees, extra.
Yeah. You go to FelixAutos.com. FelixAutos.com, where you call my bro Jeff, the internet manager, at 888-710-6919. Get yourself to Felix Chevrolet and Cadillac. There's at the corner of Figueroa and Jefferson, right next to USC. Just look for the big black cat off the 110 freeway. And remember, the cat knows where it's at.
The Free FM streaming experience is powered by the great taste of Miller Lite. Always a good call. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Always live responsibly.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
Now, let's go behind the scenes as Frosty, Heidi, and Frank prepare for today's show. Oh, this ought to be good.
I think it's because I didn't have a carry-on. But, I mean, come on, look at me. Do I look like a terrorist?
Well, terrorists are usually strange-looking little guys, so...
Yeah, but come on, I mean, look, I'm just an average guy, like I'm from the Midwest or something.
Perfect disguise, pal.
Yeah, I would strip search you, too.
Really?
No, not in a million years.
Damn it! 97.1
Free FM.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. We'll be in Vegas later this week, so we thought for Music Monday, we'd do the best and worst strip club songs of all time. Let's get back to it. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, I spent the entire weekend trying to think of the worst and best strip club songs. Danny has his. T has hers. Danny got in an argument with his 12-year-old.
And my wife. It was a huge fight.
Were you on a pole when you argued? All right, I'm going to start because we're running woefully behind as usual. Ozzie and Ray got a movie review of Zodiac, which I saw, so I can chime in as well. Prisoner David's calling in from prison. He's going to tell us what happens to predators, sexual predators in the prison. And all that's still to go, news and whatnot. But we're going to start with best and worst stripper songs. So let's start with one of my best, working down to the number one song. A little something from the Black Crowes, circa 1991. I think this is a remake of an old blues song.
Hey there, here I am, I'm a man on the scene.
Yeah.
I can give you what you want, but you got to come
home. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I can see this.
It probably is a stripper song.
Yeah, some of these, I stayed away from the ones we use when we do the stripper bit.
I told just my wife that, too.
Not to be redundant, but I'm sure this is played. You know, they just bring in their music and they'll tell them what they want. I've seen some weird-ass stripper. I mean, if you hang around strip clubs long enough, eventually you'll see, like, the theme from MASH.
I sat in front of...
Suicide is Painless?
Yeah.
I sat in front of Jumbo's Clown Room last night. Do you know that place?
Yeah,
oh, I know it on Hollywood Boulevard.
Like a famous crazy stripper place or something, right?
Courtney to hear Love what
was
strip.
Yeah, Courtney Love used to work there. To hear what was coming out of
no,
the place?
No, I was meeting a friend for coffee, and she gave me an address, I guess knowing me. And she was standing in front of Jumbo's Clown Room, and she knew I wouldn't go in. That's where I picked her up to go have coffee.
Hmm. Well,
that's the only strip club I've ever been to in my life, and the stripper was pregnant.
See, that's what I've always heard about Jumbo's.
Any place there's no cover charge and $2 beer, don't go.
Well, this could have been playing at Jumbo's. But here's a song that probably shouldn't have been playing at Jumbo's Clown Room. Janice Ian. 1975.
The most depressing song ever.
Yeah. Everybody on the stage, Charisse. She's an ugly duckling with pockmarked face and a huge ass. She sits home waiting for the phone to ring, inventing imaginary lovers to come sweep her away from her abusive stepdad. Jade stage two. Hold on. Oh, God, this is becoming cathartic. Holy Christ. Ace, what's becoming of you, buddy? I gotta get back into bartending school. It sounds some kind of life. Listen, you should all be ashamed of yourselves. This is a misogynistic orgy. Do you hear me? Turn the house lights on. God damn you people, make me want to puke. Taking this woman and turning her to a piece of meat. Honey, put something on. For the love of Christ, wrap yourself up. I'm not going to be a part of this. Jade, stage four.
The bar is actually called Somebody's Daughter. Just want to make you feel good about yourself.
An inspired choice.
All right, I'm going to puke.
Yeah.
Let's go to my next song, top five. Working my way down to number one. Here's a little something from Molly Hatchet.
Just the name.
1980. This song, good southern rock, and somewhere in the middle of it, the song stops and a guy goes, blows the whistle, which all good rock songs used to have. They would stop at some point in the middle, and the guy would whistle for his dog or his car or his old lady, or he'd yell like, yeah, it is, and then they'd go right back into it.
Hella badass.
Hella badass.
Yeah, it is.
Flirting with a little southern rock for you.
So, that's cool with me.
All right, this is good. Let's go.
Makes me think she'll have sex with me in the car.
Let's go.
She's having like a southern song.
Yeah.
Like she'll do it in the car with me. She won't make me hassle.
Yeah,
like
and you'll be going 80 in the car. But now,
seconds.
A song you do not want to hear in any strip club. Christopher Cross went up to number one in 1981.
This came
from
off
Arthur?
My list.
Yes,
famous movie.
That's funny.
All right, I wouldn't mind seeing someone strip to this.
You sure?
It'd be a lyrical strip.
You sure?
Oh, Danny, no.
Dear
God, no.
You're naked.
Apparently she wouldn't mind.
Well, this would be a surreal strip.
Yes.
I'd definitely don the top hat and have another pop, though. All right, let's keep pushing. Let's go to my number three.
So this was one of mine. I took it off.
Let's go to, this is Sloppy Seconds.
No, that's some Between the Moon and New York City. But the reason I took it off, you mentioned that song about a week ago.
Oh.
You were talking about something and you mentioned that song. And I thought, he already said that song.
Well, Danny just stripped to it and it wasn't so bad.
Well, let's keep going and do my number three song. Little White Snake for you. Got the word snake right in it.
Yeah, this is almost too perfect, though. It's like you've kind of pegged it now.
Yeah, we're right on the nose with this one.
Yeah, but it's good because you don't want it to be too fast or too slow, rhythmically.
No, because I had a friend that worked at a place called Cheetahs, and they don't take their clothes off there. They just dance around scantily, and I would take her from meetings to there and then back to meetings. And so I've seen women dance provocatively, just not naked. And they don't seem to care what the beat actually is, as long as they can do that kind of stuff and wrap themselves around poles.
Well, by the way, they called it Cheetahs because when I found out there was no nudity in there, I shot out at 60 miles an hour. I passed a gazelle on my way out the door.
You broke the land speed record.
That's right.
Anybody hear that pop? Yeah, it was Corolla breaking the speed record.
All right, now we go to my number three in the bad department. Now, this one I had to dig deep for. This is by Henry Gross, 1976. Oh, you haven't heard this song? Well, it was a top 10 hit in 1976. The reason this song came to mind is he's singing about his dead dog. And he goes up into a falsetto. Everyone dig it.
Oh, my God.
I had a... I had a terrier. I just called him Rusty because he's. Christ, I missed that dog. Stage four. Quit your grin and drop your linen. Jesus Christ, I should pull it together. That wasn't me crying. That did a rail blow. That was me crying. Show him we appreciate him. All right. Oh, goddamn, who's got a Kleenex? No, not for that, you sick pig. Crying over here. Oh, that too. Jesus Christ, I got a bloated fanny pack. All the tears got it on the way down my chest. Jade, stage four. Ah, this dog, hell. It wasn't man's best friend, but it was my best friend. All right. Shannon, about a dead dog, everybody.
Good times.
We need to take ourselves a break. I have my number one song waiting in the wings. Teresa and Danny do as well. We'll do our top two best and worst strip songs. Yeah. You can call in at 866-901-ADAM and tell us your worst strip club songs. I don't want to hear about your best.
That's almost easy.
Yeah, give us your worst. Worst strip club songs. We'll give you the best and the worst next on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
97.1. KLSX. Free FM.
Okay, by now you know that the Adam Carolla Show is heading to Vegas on March 8th for a live broadcast from the Palms. But what you might not know is that when the show is over, the party's just beginning at Scores Las Vegas Nightclub and Cabaret. So join Adam and the crew at Scores from 11 till 1 a.m. That's where they'll be celebrating the release of the 2007 Scores Adam Carolla Show calendar. That's hot. And what's on the calendar? Duh! Hot Chicks of Scores Las Vegas. Your night of partying with the Adam Carolla Show in Vegas is powered by the elegance, gorgeous girls, and superior service at Scores Las Vegas Nightclub and Cabaret. And of course us, 97.1 Free FM, SoCal's FM talk station.
I'm Mike Bogusowski, and I'm on your side. I'm standing here in Irvine with a man who's contracted prickly heat.
How?
Now, you bought this visor in 1998 to specifically protect you from the sun.
Yep.
And keep the prickly heat off your neck. It's not working, is it?
Nope.
We called the makers of this visor, Visors America, and we showed up at their front door. Hey, open up, Miss Bogusowski!
Go away! Go away! We don't want anyone to know we sell crappy visors!
I know you sell crappy visors! I'm coming in there to get my money back for my friend Timmy here. Look at the prickles on his neck!
Ow!
They're like a small mountain range! If I pop one, we'll all drown in pus!
Pus!
Visors America wised up before drowning in pus and gave us back the $9.95 that Jimbo here spent. You happy, Jimbo?
Nope.
That's all right. We got your money back with a visor.
Yep.
Remember, I'm Mike Bogusowski, and when you get big prickly heat, I'm on your side.
Yep.
You listen to Likas.
I listen to Tom Likas.
Tom Likas.
And I listen to Tom in the afternoon because he talks about the issues that I really care about.
I listen to Likas because of Likas 101, baby.
I've been laid about six times now because of Likas 101.
Guys who listen to FM talk meet hot chicks.
Likas 101 all the way, baby.
Tom Likas is the shit, baby.
You know that, I know that, and the American people know that.
Drive home with Tom Likas.
Weekday afternoon.
And we're not done yet.
97.1. Free FM.
Pepperdine University's fully employed MBA program is the only two-year part-time program of its kind in Southern California to be ranked among the top 20 business schools for return on investment by Forbes magazine. If you'd like to earn an MBA from one of the most highly regarded business schools in the world, call 1-800-933-3333 for more information. Pepperdine University's prestigious Grazioli School of Business and Management. where the real world of business is mastered.
Adam Carolla now, John Likas.
John Likas.
Today at 3, 97.1
KLSX,
3 FM.
Yeah. Dodge Ram trucks. They got a Dodge Ram challenge. You know that commercial with the Rock'em Sock'em robots? Truck beats the robot. By the way, that's my kind of viewing. Whatever's playing after that, I want to see that. You don't see that on Oxygen. See, I see a commercial. I see a chick running down the beach in slow motion with a little wind chime music in the background. I move on, but I see a robot getting its ass beat by a truck.
You know the man show's on next.
I'm staying. That's right. I'm going to see a rerun of the man show. Dodge Ram Challenge, featuring the Rock'em Sock'em robots. You got a chance to win $9,000 worth of prizes, or you can win a Dodge Ram Laramie Quad Cab 4x4. What do? You go to CBSSportsLine.com/Ram Challenge, and you win, baby. CBSSportsLine.com/Ram Challenge.
Longest lasting based on Arnold Polk & Company vehicles in operation. Registration statistics 1986 to 2005. Durability based on longevity. Rock'em Sock'em Robots used by permission of Mattel Incorporated. Copyright 2007. Mattel Incorporated. All rights reserved. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 or older. 19 in Alabama and Nebraska. Void where prohibited. For official rules and details, go to CBSSportsLine.com/Ram Challenge.
Computer security threat. Now, let's go behind the scenes as Frosty, Heidi, and Frank prepare for today's show.
Frank, is my tongue blue?
It looks like a big blue snake. Is mine yellow?
The old Skittles standoff again.
Here, Frosty, chew this.
I'll pass, thank you. That color can't be edible.
Well, there you have it. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
97.1
Free FM. The Tom Likas Show. Kind of like Viagra for your ears, except they don't get big and hard. Unless you want them to.
Oh, it looks awful.
97.1.
Stupid me.
Free FM.
Don't worry. More of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
Something you should know. The Browning family opened their first auto dealership in Southern California 50 years ago. And in those 50 years, tens of thousands of customers, they've done business with the Browning family. And the key? Integrity. 50 years of integrity. Now you know why Browning Cerritos Dodge, number one, 15 straight years. Always the lowest prices on over 1,000 new Dodges. Always courteous employees. And when we say a promise made is a promise kept, we have 50 years to back that up. Whatever your previous car buying experience, you'll feel and see the positive difference immediately at Cerritos Dodge. Our New Year's resolution at Browning Cerritos Dodge, keep doing the same thing Mr. Browning started 50 years ago. Offer more value for the dollar with customer service second to none. Right off the 605 and famous Cerritos Auto Square. Is Browning Cerritos Dodge the best? Family owned for 50 years? Boy, I guess.
Live from the Miller Lite Lounge, this is 97.1 KLSX, Free FM.
Back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Got a strip club song for Music Monday? Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we were talking about the best and the worst. It's time to move forward here with strip club songs. Let's start with you, T. Give us your best first.
Okay, I'm kind of embarrassed to like this song, but I've always found it kind of sultry.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a listen to Fiona Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Criminal.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be fast. As a matter of fact, in movies, the strip club songs are slow because they're doing their thing. Yeah.
Plus, she's personally gnarly, which makes it kind of cool.
Gnarly hot?
No, gnarly like crazy.
Yes.
And, you know, she's a very serious person to deal with.
She's been a bad girl.
Yeah.
Yes, she has. I don't get to travel much. I was at a bar in Rome with Morrissey and Fiona Apple.
Oh, I'd a nickel for every time I was in Rome with Fiona Apple and Morrissey.
Something like that doesn't normally happen. I don't go places like that. It was so cool. And you could just tell somebody was going to bone somebody. It was like, Morrissey was after me. I'm kind of looking at Fiona. Everybody's throwing back drinks, and I just knew something bad was going to happen. And she started it.
She's
out of the
hot.
Three of us, she went bad first.
Yeah. On who?
Not on anybody in particular. She just went crazy before any of us went crazy. And then I went crazy second. And
she's
then Morrissey ran away.
And troubled, which is great in the sax, not great long-term relationship.
Yes, it is. It's perfect. I would have chick that set your house on fire. I would have Beth Lopez is the perfect woman.
All right, T, that is the best. Now, give us the worst of the
strip challenge club. You to hear this song and not think about gay anal rape.
Oh, interesting. And that's diabolical.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking about bad strip songs like this. It's Don't Think of the Pink Elephant. She's got us. There's a boy squeal like
dueling banjos from Deliverance.
Yeah, and the trip up. They're like, hey, everybody! Diamond on stage, but give a little love to Bruno, the bouncer. He's doing a fine job. Bruno's up there. Hey, Bruno, a lot of guys call you Husky. I call you Bilch. You notice these guys wearing a tuxedo?
You can't bleep out cummerbund. It's a word.
All right. See, this is our problem with our bleep guys. They're the dumbest guy on the floor.
There was, you know what was cool, though? Because I never really knew he was right there before. Yes. I stared at him while he was doing it while you were yelling, and on the third one, he let it go.
He's got a real pretty mouth.
Well, the joke was, dump guy, you can check the spelling, but it's people mispronounce the word cummerbund.
Right. Actually, I didn't mean to be rude to my daughter, but she said supposedly last night.
And you got to stop that.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big ass.
All right, well, this is good stuff.
Brilliant, T.
Thank you.
Brilliant. So, Danny.
Yes.
Number one and number two. Give us the good.
The good is actually, interestingly enough, where one of the fights came in. This is Korn with Twisted Transistor.
Mm-hmm.
And especially good, it's going to break into a minute, and also the lyrics are fabulous about stripping.
So this is the chick who's tatted up, got a little edge on her.
This is going to be a bad night out. Something's going wrong.
Blade coming to the stage. Put a coaster over those highballs, boys, or she'll put a little whiz floater in it for you. She's edgy. Watch the piercings. You don't want to get caught on a class ring. All right. Yeah. Yeah, this is edgy.
Yeah.
I like this. We've run the gamut of nice strip. We've had the Fiona Apple, the sultry, had the hard edge stuff. We've had the Southern Rock stuff. I dig it.
Yeah, this is where we got in the fight, though. My daughter, who we happened to pass a strip club on Saturday night coming home from somewhere, and she looked at it and said, oh, that's disgusting. It's that big ornate place on Sunset Boulevard. It looks like
Body Shop?
No, further
Pleasure
down.
Chest?
Okay, let's just say yes, because I don't know the name of this place. Right. It looks like an Indian place.
Yeah, Seventh Vale.
Seventh Vale, that's it. And my daughter looked right at it and went, oh, that's
Brian just gave me a note that's in Seventh Vale.
Yes. So she knows what it is. So I'm explaining to her, she's going, no, Twisted Corn is better with Foxy Foxy.
Mm-hmm.
And a big fight ensued with a 12-year-old and my wife, who likes this song, about stripping.
I'm sure our grandparents argued with our parents about the exact same things.
All right,
so this is good. Give us the bad.
All right, now this one you might want to have to think about to understand completely why it's so bad. It's Modest Yahoo, King Without a Crown.
Mm-hmm. So
you've got to
sing about God.
Yeah. Waiting for the second coming.
I find it hot. I don't know why.
So do I, but it's not a bad song. You can move to it, but the fact that he is, he used to stage dive, he can't do it anymore.
What is with the Jew?
Did you know that?
On Shabbos or any night?
On any night, he might be touched by a woman. He can't stage dive anymore.
Yeah, I'd say a smart choice, perhaps too smart.
Yeah, I thought that was,
probably a bubble-headed stripper too, shaking their ass to this.
Which is good, because you know what I wanted to use originally was, is that all there is? Circus.
Right.
Is that all there is, my friend?
Remade by somebody at some point.
I just heard it. That's what made me think of it. So Modest Yahoo.
Yeah. solid.
Yeah, a man that can't be touched by women. I just figure automatically, at least cerebrally, it makes you a bad stripper song.
It's just the problem is during the ramp up, you know, when the DJ's like, all right, a lot of you guys are going to think this is a really good song and dance around, but let's not forget that Modest Yahoo's Hasidic Jew. Now, Hasidim are a group of Jews that believe in the Torah verbatim. Now, they, Modest and his Israel, oh, forget it, just get loaded and dance your ass off.
Put a dollar in that chick's butt crack, will you?
All right, let's go to my number two in the good department. It's a little something from Bad Religion. I just love this riff. This is the chick that's being nasty up there.
See, I just like bad girls. Anybody can take their pants off.
I like it. It's good, but it's not too obvious.
Yeah, I decided to get off the beaten path and go a little Bad Religion.
Yeah. See, any girl can take her pants off. It takes a special girl to do it with a switchblade. Now here I go. Nice.
Rather she cut her own pants off and then cut herself just to feel.
You know, that kind of chick does not bother me.
Plus, I'm thinking, this chick's even hotter because she picked a cool Bad Religion
right.
song.
Yeah, right.
All right, maybe it's become too cathartic now. Let's push forward to my number two in the bad department. Now, you'll hear this song, and you may not recognize this song. I can
see it. Of course.
Wait a minute. That is not it.
No,
my number
right,
two.
I recognize this. The guy replacing Brian.
Ah. Now, what is this?
Kind of
hard to dance to.
Classical.
Morose, but.
Is this familiar music?
Maybe, it's a cello.
Maybe it's from a movie.
What is with the jewels?
Oh, that's right, the thing from the Jewish list.
This dance is for all who died at Auschwitz.
Hey, everybody, you may want to take this opportunity to march your junk to the oven.
Jesus.
Yeah.
This dancer is hot. She's on fire.
Theme from Schindler's List. Again. It's tough to dance to, but when you find out what the story is behind it.
It's even more horrific.
I can't believe I'm horrified. I'm horrified.
All right, we need to take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back with everyone's number one song. Number one, good, but funnier. Number one, bad. Next on Music Monday.
Hey, there's more Adam on the way, plus Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show.
97.1 KLSX. Free FM. The Adam Carolla Show is heading to Las Vegas for a live broadcast on Thursday, March 8th, coming to you from the Palms Hotel and Casino. As you know, what happens in Vegas can be heard right here on 97.1 Free FM. But when the show is over, the party is just beginning. That's because the Adam Carolla Show is going to hit the after party fueled by Hornitos Tequila. Why drink anything else when Hornitos Super Premium Tequila is a sure bet in Las Vegas? The Adam Carolla Show, live in Las Vegas, powered by Sauza Hornitos Tequila, made from 100% pure blue agave. Sauza reminds you to drink small. We are 97.1 Free FM, SoCal's FM talk station.
Adam Carolla, American genius.
Skiing becomes the sort of thing you do once you get a disability. Like, there's no Marine in the world who's skied before, but as soon as you get a leg blown off in Iraq,
yeah.
Immediately you hit
you
the slope.
Go ski, right?
Fantastic.
That guy that played the guitar for the Pope with his feet. Just a guy with no arms playing with his feet.
But I will bet you that 10 minutes after he was done playing the Pope, they duct taped him to a toboggan and slid him down something.
This is a new thing this season. It's not actually new, but a lot of the kids are doing this. They get turned down, and then they think if they just sing another song, they'll make it through, and they just start a singing.
Everyone should do that with everything. Like, it should be like, Teresa, I really enjoyed our first date. Can I have a second date?
You know what? No.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Come on, how about a second date?
You know what? No.
To dream the impossible dream.
The Adam Carolla Show. Mornings on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, guys. Come down and see me and my girlfriends at the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry on East Valley Boulevard.
conveniently close to the 10, 605, and 60 freeways. With a cover charge of only $5, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. daily, and multiple VIP seating areas, we are the perfect destination for your bachelor or birthday party. And you'll also love our specialty nights, like 2-for-1 Tuesdays, adult star feature nights, and customer appreciation day. For more details, log on to spearmintrhino.com, or why not come down right now? And while you're here, check out our adult superstore. We sell the newest and top-of-the-line adult DVDs, clothing, and novelties. The Spearmint Rhino in City of Industry has the hottest adult stars performing every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, with a special appearance by adult film star Tori Lane, February 22nd through the 24th. For directions and showtimes, go to spearmintrhino.com. Come see me now at the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry.
7.1 KLSX, Free FM.
49 Automotive Journalists just named the 2007 Saturn Ara midsize sedan the North American Car of the Year. When your competition is the likes of Lexus, Mercedes, and Toyota, it's an honor to be named the best. Matt DiLorenzo from Road and Track said, "The road manners are solid, the interior is beautiful, and the overall fit and finish are top-notch. But don't worry, all that success hasn't gone to their heads. You'll still get the same no-hassle, no-haggle buying experience like always. The Saturn Ara, North American Car of the Year. Only at your local Saturn retailer. Like always, like never before."
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
Tom Likas, free to say what you're already thinking.
Ed writes, "Tom, I'm in a serious situation. I'm 34 years old, and I have been living with a woman for about 4 years now. She is still married and refuses to get a divorce." All right, strike two. Want strike three? Here it is. "I have had a child with this woman. Problem is this." Wait, problem is something else?
The Tom Likas Show, weekday afternoons at 3 on 97.1 Free FM.
97.1 Free FM KLSX, Los Angeles. It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Jock Itch.
They've cured polio, but an itchy scrotum still baffles the men of medicine?
Well,
yeah.
That was Adam Explains Jock Itch to 1780s Guy, Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, speaking of your jocks, gents, we're going to be in Vegas on Thursday and Friday. We're going to be hanging out at some strip clubs. And thus, for Music Monday, we thought we'd go best and worst songs to play at a strip club. Let's get to our number one efforts now. Teresa?
Okay, this song, maybe it is a strip club song. I don't know. It is about sex, but it has a certain innocence to it that I like.
Mm-hmm. Feel like sex. Making love.
Wow.
That's fast. I have so many chicks say that to me. Wow, that's fast.
Because people don't call it making love that much.
What else do you?
Little bad co.
Bad co.
Yeah, not easy to shake your moneymaker too, but it's right there.
What year is this from?
75.
I was going to say 76.
This is around like the first time I was doing it. This song was really popular. A girl had something to do with this song in my life. So this is actually a sex song for me.
It's back when they used to just talk about, white guys used to sing about having sex and getting it on in vans and stuff. All right, feel like. All right, well, we'll get to the main we'll get to the main verse here.
Is this Bread?
Bad Co.
See, it picks up a little here.
Right. Yes, Paul Rogers and the Boy. All right, that's number one in the good department. What's number one in the bad department?
Well, when you're going to a stripper, I don't think you want to think about your father issues.
When are you going to come home, son?
Great. I'd just be laughing so hard now if I heard that.
Hey, buddy. Sherry's coming to stage five, you know. I'm a second generation strip club barker. My dad before he was claimed by cancer. Don't wait, give me a second. He was the best, but he's a 90-pound shell of his man before he keeled over right here at the mixing board. Diamond stage four. I miss you, dude. That's not a tip jar, that's his urn, you son of a bitch. He bequeathed me his family, his fanny pack. And a fanny pack filled with 20s. He was the best man ever to don a fanny pack and step behind a strip club microphone.
Strip club DJ broke down on that one.
Well, it's tough when you're talking about the Dan, the silver the spoon, and the little boy blue. Well, Danny, I'm sorry. No, I got to gather myself.
It's like following a great comic. It's like, I don't want to go on now. Can't I just go home?
Give us a great song.
Well, it's I don't know how many people will know it, but if you really knew it and heard it and liked it, you'd get that this is a great stripper song. It's Rob Zombie's Living Dead Girl.
Yeah, this is the nasty strobe lights going.
Now you can see this chick's tracks.
Yeah, there's two types of strippers. They have these sort of girl next door type, and then they got the kind where you're scared they're going to bite your junk off and feed it to their snake.
And guess which one I like.
Yeah.
You know, the girl dressed up as Mary Poppins and then turns all naked. That's how cute.
Right.
The girl that comes out all in leather and rips it all off with her teeth. I just go, you're the girl for me.
I'm down.
And then I married Mary Poppins.
Well, give us the bad now. Give us the worst.
I would think, and not only because I have a personal relationship with this artist, I just happen to think, because you're going to pick a lot of songs from this person, but this is the worst. It's a little, hey, it ranked, I think, number 7. It's a little Donny Osmond, Sweet and Innocent.
Donny Osmond.
I was going to go Puppy Love.
Going back to the 70s here? Yeah. I need some Mormon singing about puppy love.
And 71, and he's my age, so he's 11. And there's a little wiggle in her walk.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bicycle company that says pedophile outside.
Yeah, that'll kill the wood.
Yeah, that would kill right there. I may not be able to get up another.
Although, Brian, you have playground in my mind because I could combat that with this one. I would have put this on my list, but we play it on the show enough. As soon as Bri finds it, this is not a good one from the 70s to play either to strip club.
Oh,
you remember this song?
Shiny.
Going to grandma's. Got a nickel.
We're going to talk. It's Clint Holmes.
Clint Holmes.
Well done.
Thank you.
When this old world gets me down.
Yeah.
You should have stripped anything you can snap to.
I'm at stage four. I got a son I haven't seen in 12 years. Bradley, if you're out there, this is for you, buddy. Sorry, Dad's been a little late on a few payments. God damn it, you son, my son. Stop the music.
I don't remember the kid.
Oh, the kid.
I don't remember the kid.
Yes. All right, quickly before I throw up
in my
pants.
One of the hottest shows in Vegas, by the way, that guy.
Clint Holmes. So sad. We will do my number one. Oh, wait a minute, Bri. Where is it? You got it? This is... Now, picture the chick. Picture Demi Moore just busting through the curtain in that striptease movie when... When it kicks, when the drums kick from the Cult. Cult doesn't get enough credit.
Nope.
This is a great song.
Good band and good stripper music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do a little more Cult in my life. All right, because we're up against it, let me give you my number one in the bad department. Again, the worst strip club song ever. Paul Anka. 1974. Number one. Number one the song went to in 74. Anka was a horrible singer. Here we go.
But you're having my baby.
Ugh.
You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you.
I know every word to this song.
Listen to this.
You're a woman in love, and I love what's going through you.
What's going through you?
He's the baby growing, you pig. I love this song. How dare you?
See it showing.
Oh, the seed inside you, baby. Do you feel it growing?
You feel the seed inside you growing?
It's a bad stripper song, but it's a beautiful song.
It is romantic. I'm a woman. She comes in.
No. You know, God, no.
I was going to play Rob Zombie's Distortion Abortion, but I guess it wouldn't go here.
I forgot about the chicks.
Yeah,
This was number one.
I
this
remember.
Song went to number. Seed inside you is growing.
I can see it showing.
Oh, the 70s were
what a lovely way.
Time.
What a lovely way of saying how much you love me. You know,
were there no other songs in the 1970s? How did this song make the number one?
The way those talky songs that told a story about your daddy.
Yeah, that's true.
Way. It's a novelty more than a song.
Heaven, my baby. All right, now I'm going to just, we need to take a break, but I'll play you my bonus. I'll play my number one bonus track. Brian, pull this up. This is just a little bonus track for you, T.
Oh.
From Fiddler on the Roof.
Nice.
Sunrise, sunset.
Oh,
just because they say, is this the little boy I once knew?
Is this the little girl I carried?
Is this the little girl I carried?
Oh, I know some sunrise.
You know, we're thinking about strippers and the little girl I carried, and my daughter's hitting her teenage years. I'm not that happy with this moment.
We will go out.
They play this at Tevye's Tavern.
On the positive note.
They play it at Filthy McNasty's, too.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Tim Kring, he's executive producer and creator of Heroes and many other shows. Oh, maybe I can pitch him some of my ideas. I think he's done some features. Anyway, Heroes, the new number one. Well, I don't know what you want to call it.
It's definitely the top new show of this year.
It's one I hear talked about the most.
He is in studio next on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's a lot more coming up, so stick around. The Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show.
Between my favorite radio station
and my favorite radio station,
there are even more.
But you can only discover these hidden stations with an HD radio.
With HD radio, you can explore new digital territory and hear expanded content from the stations you listen to now.
You'll find a world of music, news, and talk unlike any you've heard before, at a level of fidelity you haven't heard before either.
Best of all, it's completely free. All you need is an HD radio.
So find out what's between this station
and this one.
HD radio.
Discover it.
Now, let's go behind the scenes as Frosty, Heidi, and Frank prepare for today's show.
What you got, Frosty?
Well, there's a couple things in the newspaper.
Yeah, Frank's been on the damn computer for an hour.
Oh, show prep, huh?
No, more like addicted to porn.
Damn it! Why can't we get DSL in here? They can't download anything!
Well, what did you expect, huh?
I could have a nipple here.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. KLSX.
Sound like us. Free to say what you're already thinking.
I want to tell you also, generally we do not discuss politics. You will not hear the following words on this program except by accident. The words Iraq. You will not hear the phrase Fox News Channel. You will not hear the names of anybody who's on the Fox News Channel or anybody in the Republican or, for that matter, the Democratic Party. If you don't care, you won't talk about that stuff on the show.
The Tom Likas Show, weekday afternoons at 3 on 97.1.
This is KLSX,
Los Angeles,
SoCal's FM talk station.
97.1,
home of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci Mornings. Streaming online at 971freefm.com.
Blasting on air,
97.1.
Free FM.
Powered by Hornitos Tequila.
We now join FM talk programming genius Jack Silver for his state of the station address.
Boys, last year I took a lot of crap for programming 97.1 by Dartboard.
Dartboard? What do you mean, boss?
Simple, Schmendrick. I tape show ideas up on the wall, then I throw a dart. And voila, ask the proctologist, Sunday mornings at 9.
But how do we know listeners will like that?
The answer is, we don't. And up until recently, I didn't even care. Then I actually read some of the emails from the listeners. Ah. Oh boy, talk about an eye-opener. They loved Adam Carolla, but wanted a better show. So we ixnayed the traffic, reduced the amount of commercials, and added Danny Bonaducci. Hey, I know. And you Likas fans are going to love this. Coming soon, even fewer commercials, and more Tom Likas.
Yeah.
Fellas, I do the cussing, biatch.
Sorry.
Remember, pinheads, I built this radio station so there's a place where a guy can be a guy. And ladies, we love you too, as long as we can get in your slack.
97.1 BFM, SoCal's FM jock station.
Are you facing mortgage madness? Is your balance increasing? Are your credit cards going out of control? Is your property value going down? Hi, I'm John Uribe with Homefront Mortgage, and I can help you relieve that madness. If you close your loan in the month of March, you won't have to make a payment until August of 2007. Unbelievable! The first 3 months of your payment are not added to your loan. And yes, the bank is making your payments. And on a 30-year loan, we can go up to 100% of your property's value. If you're looking for a 30-year fixed loan due in 30 years, we have the loan for you. Even if your FICO score is as low as 500 and you have mortgage lates, our 30-year fixed mortgage program will help you relieve the madness. If you have a neg am, an interest only, or an option arm, this is the loan for you. At Homefront Mortgage, we are a bank. We are a direct lender. Call me, John Uribe, at Homefront Mortgage at 800-848-8301. That's 800-848-8301. Homefront Mortgage, 800-848-8301.
Homefront Mortgage, broker license number 01232781.
97.1. 3FM.
Let's go behind the scenes as Frosty, Heidi, and Frank prepare for today's show.
Frank! Well, at least he recycled.
Oh, please. I think he built a go-kart out of the last case he flattened.
It's not a go-kart. It's a beer-mobile.
Well, there you have it. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is the epitome of nothing.
Kind of like your sex life.
KLSX. The Free FM streaming experience is powered by the great taste of Miller Lite. Always a good call. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Always live responsibly.
When Jack Silver gets me down, and he throws the word cooch around. I close my eyes, and soon I find I'm in a rape shower in my mind, where I can scrub and scrub and scrub all day. But still, his words won't go. By my boss Jack, I'm gonna get me all sorts of therapy after his cooch attack. You can see me running, leaving Jack Silver and the show behind. I need to escape into the rape shower in my mind.
Inspired by true events, Jack Silver was in here for a little, how's the sausage being made after the show meeting, and he threw the word cooch around, and then when he left, Teresa said she was taking a rape shower in her mind, and I said, that reminds me of a song. That's how the creative process works. I don't have to tell
Tim Kring that. I don't know that that would be my biggest priority.
With
shower.
The rape?
Yeah. I think I might call someone before I started scrubbing.
Danny, if you were raped, first thing you do is masturbate.
Well, first thing I do is I'd ask for my cigarettes.
Chase the girl's car as they went down the street.
You know it's in jail. I'm getting cigarettes for this, or I'm not doing it.
Oh, I see. Right. Tim Kring here. He is the creator. True of Heroes?
Yeah, that's right.
This is your brainchild.
Yep.
And inspired by The Incredibles, it says here.
Well, you know, I actually saw the movie while I was thinking about this idea. So in some small part, it played a role, yeah.
Okay. And by the way, friggin' brilliant movie. That was great.
Absolutely.
Because I have kids, I wouldn't know that some of those cartoons are brilliant movies. They just have to be drawn and all shiny.
But yeah, you would have stayed away from them if you hadn't had kids that have forced you to see them.
But some of them are, man, that one with the little fish with Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo
was great.
Yeah, the Pixar movies are unbelievable. They spend a lot of time working on the story.
But still, make no mistake, you shouldn't listen to your kids. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to be wrong. Once in a while, there's a Finding Nemo. The other half is, this is the greatest thing ever. It's Razzles and a fruit roll-up. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, you shouldn't listen to them for what music to listen to or what stuff to eat
until
or anything like that.
Until the day they're bigger than I am, I'm right.
That's right.
Unfortunately, look at the size of me. This will be like any second now.
Wednesday.
Heroes has been hugely successful. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
Were you surprised?
Well, you know, you hope for it, but yeah, it was pretty amazing when people started really, you know, showing up in droves.
Well, you've had a lot of success, but were you surprised even when they said, yes, we're going to buy it and put it on TV?
You know what? I went in with the idea that it was going to be something that they had to do.
Really?
Yeah, I really wanted to make something that was targeted at something that the network really needed, and at the time, they didn't have one of these kinds of shows, meaning a big serialized drama.
You can hear it in his voice. He doesn't take no for an answer. Yeah. He kicks ass and takes names.
He walks into a meeting.
I'm sure a lot of guys were just intimidated.
You and I are almost the same guy.
Yeah, we're the exact same.
I walk into a bitch meeting.
Tim Kring will open a can of whoop-ass on your executives, and he'll just get you into a figure four or give you a pile driver until you green light his project.
Sure, he's mild-mannered until he hears no.
Right, exactly.
No, I wasn't.
Then the Opie Taylor shirt comes off and there's a big S on his chest.
Cheerleader, kick your ass.
So, yeah, you did Crossing Jordan and Chicago Hope, so you had credentials.
Right.
But how does it work? Because I feel like there's a lot of people that are listening that have ideas,
yeah,
and they're not going to get the meetings because they didn't do Crossing Jordan.
Right, right.
But for you, you have an idea. Do you go in and pitch it? Do you write it and give it to them? How does it work?
I actually went in and pitched it, but what they didn't know is that I'd actually written most of it by the time I did go in and pitch
most of the pilot.
Yeah, most of the pilot.
And has it changed much?
The pilot was pretty true to what I had originally come up with.
And new heroes and new bad guys in season two, which I'm assuming is a given.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to reinvent the show enough each year so that it doesn't feel like you have to have watched every, you know, minute of the first season. So in that respect, it's more like 24.
I really appreciate that. Because I'm not one. I'll get into a show and miss an episode and think if I'm lost enough, forget it.
Right.
I really appreciate that you don't want to do those things like, well, if you missed an episode, you got to catch up.
Yeah, no, it was really important for us to, like, make the barrier of entry, you know.
Smart call.
Wide and
that's where Lost almost
lost. Lost, yeah. So, Tim, I feel like you're flying high. You got a lot of juice. Maybe I could pitch you an idea.
Sure.
You'll say it's your idea.
Exactly.
We'll split up the money.
Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't get my foot in the door.
Right. He can say from the creative heroes.
I can get you a meeting.
Well, let's get us a meeting. Because I only got Crank Yankers and The Man Show under my belt. You got Heroes and Crossing Jordan. And I feel like you're a little more mainstream.
Right.
Now, dig this. I don't know what music I need for this, but Chris Hansen's To Catch a Predator, doing pretty well in the ratings, thank you very much. I mean, everyone's aware of this show. This idea takes that and takes a survivor, pedophile. Pedophile, you get it?
Wow.
Like pedophile, but pedophile.
And spelled ISLE.
Yeah, however it works.
Yeah, I don't know if I...
We'll make it work.
Pedophile.
Either way.
Right.
Either way. Look, Danny, we're creative.
Hey.
You do your thing, man.
The English language is mine to manipulate.
Yes. You there find you some Japanese midget who can type 70 words a minute. He'll take care of that.
That's
not your job, buddy.
They're called little people. Then what happens on the pedophile?
Called Japanese little people? That is racist. That is horrible.
My first wife was my height.
Chris Hansen is on pedophile. Well, what it is it's the year 2035. We take all the pedophiles and we put them on an island.
Right.
Because we don't know what to do with them in our society. These guys are repeat offenders. People want to know, chemical castration, should we kill them? They haven't killed anybody. We can barely kill. Manson is still, he's still composing songs in his cell right now, 40 years after this. We can't kill anybody, but we know if these guys get out, they're going to do it again. And maybe this time to your kids, so we put them on an island.
Okay.
Now, Pedophile Island, or pedophile is a secret island because the government doesn't want us to know about
it. Right.
Because they know we'd be outraged.
It's the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible Island.
Yeah, we put them on that Bikini Island. We find one of those Bikini Island chains that we tested. Oh, here's a twist.
No.
When we tested all the nuclear devices in the 50s and 60s over on the Bikini Islands, actual true story. Now, they're irradiated, and they become super pedophiles.
Wow.
Pedophiles with superpowers.
Did anybody else see that moment of genius just happen?
Wow. What was that? The point is, why isn't someone writing? The point is when these guys get supercharged. Now.
So where are the villains going to come from?
These are the
villains. So it's an island of villains.
Super villains. Now here comes the...
The guy that molests children, they'd be...
Yeah, they'd be the villains.
So
they'd be the villains.
We need a protagonist.
Okay, yes. These are the antagonists, and we've got a protagonist. Okay, plane full of Weeblos, Cub Scouts. Cub Scout plane. Going to a jamboree. Going, you know, wherever Anna Nicole's being buried or something. They're on their way. They're doing a jamboree. They're on their way. They're flying back. And here's who's on the plane. The one Eagle Scout. He's the oldest of the guys. He's like 16. He thinks it's not cool anymore. He wanted to grow his hair, but his dad said one more for the pop. So he made one more jamboree. Now the plane goes down on a pedophile. They can't look for them because the government says the island doesn't exist.
Right.
They're on their own. Cub Scout leader dies in the plane crash. Now there's the one Eagle Scout. He's the only one alive, and he's got to lead these troops, and he has to do all the stuff, all the merit badge stuff that they've all been doing. Of course, there's the one fat kid who could never get his merit badge in whatever it was, rope tying.
Piggy from Lord of the Rings.
Piggy from Lord of the Rings. Yeah, listen, I want to be in on the casting session, too.
And it's all boys.
No, there's one hot chick. She's been running. No. She walks with impunity.
She's the stewardess.
That's right. She was. Oh yes,
so
hot steward. Yes, right. Hot steward. Torn off.
She's Jane of the jungle now.
Can you get Allie Larder?
And we could get Allie. I'm sure.
Get
Allie. She owes me
in there. Okay, that's where the sex.
And by the way, there's no irony in the plane with all the kids. The kids going down. No irony there.
No.
And the fact that they're called Weeblos. Also, no irony.
Yeah. It sounds close, but it's not.
Right.
It's spelled differently. Yeah, there's a little sexual energy between the head 17-year-old or 16-year-old, the guy's the Eagle Scout, and the stewardess down there, too. Now they're running from the super-sized pedophiles, the guys that have been poisoned with irradiated. Yeah?
It sounds like an 8 o'clock show to me.
Yeah, not 9 o'clock.
No.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Let's get the whole family around this one. Come on, there's something here?
Absolutely.
Don't make...
I think we could probably sell it just off of this
We'll just play in this tape?
Right.
Wow. Don't even have to come in for this.
Should I pitch him Navageddon?
Will you cut out the part where I said Lord of the Rings instead of Lord of the Flies, though? Don't make me look stupid.
We can clip that.
Do you want to hear Navageddon?
If we're on a roll, why not?
Tim.
If you can contain your enthusiasm.
If you're not going to take me seriously, we can end this interview. I'll shop this around.
Just so you know, everybody in this room has either written and produced their own shows, starred in their own shows, or won an Emmy.
Right.
So just come in here thinking you're all badass.
We may not have done Heroes.
Or Crossing Jordan.
NBC Monday Night 7 o'clock first.
But you didn't stick a needle in your own butt right on national TV full of illegal drugs.
That's right.
Only
that's
one of us
that. All right, quickly, I'll give you a nav again. It's the year we're ahead 230.
Okay.
No, we're ahead like 8 years. Every car produced has navigation in it. There's a rogue satellite that some Middle Eastern country set up, and it's communicating with all the car's GPS systems, and it's giving us the wrong information, and it takes over.
Steering us the wrong way.
Yes, literally.
Right,
yes,
right.
You know the new Lexus that parks itself?
Yes.
It's that combined with a bad navigation system. The cars have taken over, and they're all heading toward the Grand Canyon. Well, I star in this one.
All right.
I play NASA scientist who was thrown out. Who was hoisted
by
his own petard. Thrown out because he knew too much. He said this day was coming, but they wouldn't believe him, so they tossed him out. But he has rigged his car. So he's the only one who doesn't have the Navageddon system. And he's out there as people go to their deaths. They're driving off the cliff into the Grand Canyon. Cars piling up to the point where it's almost full. But it's up to me to launch my experimental rocket and stop this satellite.
Fantastic.
Huh?
Fantastic.
8 o'clock?
I think we follow pedophile.
Right.
I was going to say, my sidekick is a Roomba vacuum, one of those robot vacuums. I've infused it with artificial intelligence. It talks back to me. You know what I mean? It's like my C-3PO, my R2-D2. That's right. Come on, Roomba. And I mount it on the hood of my car and it navigates.
It's only like three feet tall. It's made by me. It's about this big.
Navigate.
Another fantastic idea.
Navigate.
Thank you.
Huh?
I think these two ideas are unbelievable.
When do we pitch?
We can go in this afternoon.
I got to say,
make a couple phone calls and we'll go in.
Here's so you guys will know the pitch went well. I won't be here tomorrow. That's how you'll know. If it's a six in the room, I'm not coming back.
That's how different cable is from network, my friends. I had a runaway hit for 2 years and made $9.
Yeah, right. You get up at 4 every morning. That's right. When Navageddon hits, right. Tim, please. I'm not kidding, my brother.
You and I.
All right. Now, look, I feel like hot off this Heroes thing. You got some juice. You let me do the talking. You be the face man.
You have it all together. It sounds like you have it all together.
Yeah, you do a lot of non, and then, you know, you just do.
Like, wow. That's my boy. You know,
just,
kind of thing.
Just like that.
Yeah. All right. Tim Kring, everybody, from Heroes, NBC.
Wow.
Mondays, 9 o'clock, new episodes. Coming in April, we have the last.
Yeah.
Of the before
no,
we
tonight
right. tonight is a cliffhanger,
right?
And then we're off the air and for I think
a couple months,
yeah, 6 weeks, five
right.
weeks. Then we come back with the last sort of installment of episodes, the last chapters.
So I repeat, tonight is the last episode until April.
Yes, and so there's a real cliffhanger tonight.
You've
got
to
watch tonight because there's a real cliffhanger.
Yeah,
all
right. These guys wouldn't care if they were hanging from a cliff.
Well, take a quick break. We got Ozzie and Ray. They got a review of Zodiac, which I saw as well. Also, T's got the news coming up. T, give a tease.
Remember when Ann Coulter called the 9/11 widows harpies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's at it again.
Good times.
Yeah, she said some more stuff than that since.
We'll take a quick break, be back with that in a movie review next on The Adam Carolla Show.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci coming up on The Adam Carolla Show.
97.1 KLSX. Free FM.
Okay, by now you know that the Adam Carolla Show is heading to Vegas on March 8th for a live broadcast from the Palms. But what you might not know is that when the show is over, the party's just beginning at Scores Las Vegas Nightclub and Cabaret. So join Adam and the crew at Scores from 11 till 1 a.m. That's where they'll be celebrating the release of the 2007 Scores Adam Carolla Show calendar. That's hot. And what's on the calendar? Duh. Hot Chicks of Scores Las Vegas. Your night of partying with the Adam Carolla Show in Vegas is powered by the elegance, gorgeous girls, and superior service at Scores Las Vegas Nightclub and Cabaret. And of course us, 97.1 Free FM, SoCal's FM talk station.
Everybody's talking about real estate.
Should I sell it and reinvest in out-of-state property, or should I just pull equity out?
Should I be looking to refinance while rates are still decent?
I just want to know what the effect would be on my credit score.
Certainly, there are a lot more questions that can be answered in a 60-second commercial. What you need is an hour alone with a handful of experts who can answer your questions and steer you to the right course of action. You need to listen to the Homeownership Roundtable every Saturday at 1 p.m. here on 97.1 Free FM. The hosts of the Roundtable are published experts on all things real estate and have the knowledge and time to assist you, whether it's getting into your dream home or acquiring wealth through real estate. These men of the Roundtable truly are your knights in shining armor.
I'm Darren Orshoff. Join Michael Ballinger, Tom Armstrong, Mike Harris, and myself every Saturday at 1 for the Homeownership Roundtable. We cover everything from FICO scores to interest rates, financing, and investing for your future. Invest an hour with us, the Homeownership Roundtable, Saturdays at 1 on 97.1 Free FM.
So, you think your life's got drama? Listen to Frosty, Huddy, and Frank.
Here's how I would correct your cousin's tattoo. You don't put the little guy skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make it so obvious that someone's like, oh, look, that guy must have went skydiving once. You got to make it, you know, okay, it's longitude and latitude. Obviously means something.
So
now I
want to
ask, what about that place? You know, so that's the conversation starter. If I see a little guy skydiving over it, oh, okay, he jumped out of a plane once. Like
yeah,
the one with the dolphin on her hip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, you swam with the dolphins at SeaWorld.
Why don't I just get a tattoo that says, tattoo? Has anyone ever done that?
You are so
creative. A very generic tattoo.
No, I don't know if you've ever talked about this on the air.
Steve-O's got your name on his ass.
Yeah, your name.
You're
from Jackass Steve-O.
Yeah. So you can tell people, I've got your name on it.
Your name.
Oh, really?
Your name? It's like, I got your name tattooed on my ass. They're like, no, you don't.
I have a t-shirt at home that says your name printed here. Is it like that?
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. The show for people who like to listen to other people talk about the crazy drama in their lives. Middays on 97.1 Free FM.
If you work or have worked for a company that copies software illegally, that company's breaking the law. The Business Software Alliance is offering rewards of up to $200,000 for qualifying software piracy leads. Join a growing number of people who have received rewards from the BSA for reporting software piracy. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or visit nopiracy.com. Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $200,000. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or visit nopiracy.com.
97.1 Free FM. The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci. Mornings. SoCal's FM Talk Station.
Mm-hmm. Travel Worm. That's right. We're going to Vegas at the end of the week. We go to Vegas via Travel Worm. They're the exclusive partner to the Adam Carolla Show. They get us from point A to point B. And then when you go back, are you going from point A or... So if you go from point A to point B,
yeah.
When you go home, do you go from point B to point C, or do you go back to point A?
Back to A.
I thought everywhere you start from was A. So look, we got to figure out, or otherwise I'm not going to Vegas, because I'm going to end up in C.
How about pedophile?
Listen, C.
I was afraid of that.
I want to go from point A to point B and back to point A again, and that's what Travel Worm will do for you. Either way, they'll get you there, and they'll get you back, and they'll set you up when you're there, and they'll set you up with rooms and entertainment. Vegas, that's their specialty. They got rooms at the Palms starting at $79 a night. Wow.
Wow, it's fancy.
Damn cheap. Go to travelworm.com or call 888-321-WORM. That's 888-321-WORM. Oh, you can get yourself 10% off, and that's out of 50%. So that's real savings there. 10% off when you mention my name, Adam Carolla. So, 888-321-WORM or travelworm.com. Mention my name, 10% off. We'll see you in Vegas.
During Southern California's FM Talk Station.
How about we give these people their dignity back and call it the Slut Barn?
97.1 Free FM.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
A special announcement for men who've given up hope of treating their erection problems or premature ejaculation. Boston Medical Group can help. If you've tried everything, from the common ED pills and herbal supplements to prescription and over-the-counter products, only to be disappointed with the results and side effects, Boston Medical Group can help. Boston Medical Group, the male sexual performance specialists. For 15 years, Boston Medical Group has consistently delivered to men of all ages a single focused service, helping men achieve and maintain a solid result for 30 minutes or more. Their highly experienced and committed physicians will develop a personalized treatment to suit your immediate needs and long-term goals. And with private waiting rooms and by appointment only scheduling, your confidentiality and comfort are assured. Want to improve your sex life? Call the Boston Medical Group at 866-SEX-4-LIFE. That's 866-SEX-4-LIFE. Or visit bostonmedicalgroup.com. Boston Medical Group. Male sexual performance specialists. Call 866-SEX-4-LIFE.
Ozzy fled Nicaragua and headed for the States. He reviews the movies and cooks his legendary flap steak.
Chimichurri.
Oh, yeah. Oswaldo can't pronounce the word Adam right.
Adam?
Oh, Adam's name is something that he can't say.
Adam?
For 16 years, he's been butchering Adam's name. Adam's name.
Adam.
Adam's name.
Adam?
Yeah. You put a question mark behind it. Works better, Ozzy. Ozzy's here. My old buddy Ray's here. They have a movie review of Zodiac, which I saw as well during the over the weekend. But first, we'll do tea in her news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Anna Nicole Smith's funeral went pretty much as expected on Friday, except for one thing. Anna Nicole Smith's mom, Virgie, tried to stop the funeral at the last second. She slowed it down by about an hour, and when she walked in, there was audible booing. I'm going to play you that.
I know she's no saint, and I'm not Heloise, but you don't have to write a book on decorum to know it's probably a bad idea to boo the grieving parent of the person that's dead.
The flip side of that is that if you breed a human being that gets a fan base of people who will boo at a funeral, you might have it coming.
You both make an excellent point. And to the tune of dueling banjos.
Yeah, which I really like.
And what do you do? Do you have like a big foam finger that said God's number one on it or something? What are you doing at that funeral? And then you're booing the mom of the woman who died.
I hope you packed a sweater.
Well, meanwhile, speaking of people that might go to a bad place.
It'd be funny if a manager came out and gave her the hook. You know what I mean, Virgie? Yeah, this Sparky Zimmer went running up to the mound, tapped his hand at the windbreaker on. Sorry, baby. Let's go to the bullpen of grieving parents. Come on, wait a minute. Get in that little golf cart.
You're throwing junk.
Shaped like a baseball hat. You got nothing left. Come on.
I'm thinking about her dirty handlers. That I thought you meant her manager come out and hack 20% off her. Right
no.
there. This is mine. I get to keep this 20%.
Well, I've got to play you Ann Coulter's latest comments. This was last Friday at the Conservative Political Action Conference. She was giving a speech, and she had some rather unkind things to say about John Edwards.
Mm-hmm. I was going to have a few comments on the other Democratic presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So...
Wow.
That delicate little flower.
Yes. Edwards, of course, is a senator from North Carolina who is running for president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we had her on our show, and it didn't go so well.
Running for devil. Mm-hmm. That's her whole bit now. What she called those fire department wives, bitches that used their husband's vests to get ahead, and sold more books than ever, she realized she had a new act.
Well, look, we saw Andrew Dice Clay came in here an hour ago.
And far more ladylike, Andrew Dice Clay.
He was nothing, right, nothing like what he seems on stage. Look, it's an act,
right.
And they make money, and we're talking about it, aren't we? Okay,
well,
let's keep going.
The gay thing is her new thing because
that being said,
yes.
She should die. Go ahead.
Even if she's a performance artist, still...
If she was all performance artists should die.
They're right behind mine.
They're unfunny comedians.
Well, last July, she said that Bill Clinton, quote, shows some level of latent homosexuality. And then she answered questions about that on MSNBC. And she said, quote, I don't know if he's gay, but Al Gore, total fag.
Wow.
So I would argue that even a good act anymore.
Besides, I would argue that guys who do it with fat chicks are straighter.
Right.
Because that's a certain... They're like a dog that'll eat anything.
Right, they're that straight.
They're that hungry.
Let me just admit to it. I did Gore, and he didn't like it. Right there. He is not gay.
Well, let me just get to this briefly. There's some news on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know what's going on. Everybody's quitting. This has never happened before. First, the guy from The Sopranos quit.
But just because he's 80 and morbidly obese?
This song will give you a hint who's taking over for him.
Mm-hmm. The guy played...
Not Ted Danson.
Sam Malone, or the guy who played the bartender is dead?
No. The guy who played Cliff.
Cliff.
Remember that
Clavin.
Guy?
Clavin.
Yeah.
And then Heather Mills. That was the exciting thing. She was going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And she's backed out. No word on why. And no word on
fat.
A replacement. Heather Mills?
Heather Mills
McCartney?
Put on a couple of pounds since the divorce thing.
No kidding.
Well, at least that's what the British tabloids are saying to my wife. Gets them.
Really?
Oh, my wife's a tabloid whore. She gets imported from other countries.
She's the only one I wanted to watch.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. That was everyone was looking forward to that.
Well, look, here's the deal. I've done the math. You know, like when there's a black mayor or a black police chief or fireman and he steps aside, they have to replace him with another black guy.
Right.
Otherwise, people will get pissed off.
Right.
We need to replace her with somebody who's missing a limb.
It's going
to
be tough.
Oh?
I say beat it and go with a double amputee.
Listen, if you're out there... And you're C-lister, and you want work that badly, you take a limb off.
Absolutely.
Just saw it.
It's only one step up from my Dr. Tadoff tattoo.
That's right.
You know, if it's 100 G's or more, I'll hack some off.
Probably smarter.
And then just a last mention here, at risk of being self-serving, there is some news regarding our show, The Adam Carolla Show. Congratulations to you, Ace, because our show had 11.44 million minutes streamed online last week, which means we are the number one streamed talk show other than some sports show out of New York where they stream entire games. But we are the number one.
But to do some math, 11.4 million minutes is like 9 hours. Eight or nine straight. Be like one guy listening. Okay. I wasn't a math major. It's a lot.
11 million hours.
11.44 million minutes.
1 minute
of Adam's speeches. Okay. Something crossed Adam's mind, and we all just kicked back for 11 million minutes.
11 million minutes, to correct the record, is only three
well,
rants.
Well, I wanted to, we never really address it, but those of you who go to AdamCarolla.com, God bless you.
Thank you very much
for supporting our show. We really appreciate it. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. CNN.
All right, now we got my old buddy Ray. I've only known him for 30 years. And Oswaldo to do a movie review.
Good morning.
Zodiac. Here we go.
Big intro.
Oh, big intro. Big splashy.
Come on, Brian.
Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us.
Ozzy, you know how you always do that? Yeah, that eight count before you start talking.
Nobody pointing.
All right.
The movie I'm reviewing today with Ray is Zodiac. Zodiac star Jay Gyllenhaal.
Beautiful.
It's Robert.
So you're saying that Zodiac has Jake Gyllenhaal in it?
Jay.
Oh, okay.
Jay Gyllenhaal.
Right.
It's Robert Graysmith.
Who?
Robert Gray Smith.
Gray Smith, right?
Mark Ruffalo is Inspector Dave Toshi.
Mark Ruffalo as
Inspector Dave Toshi.
Are you actually speaking English?
Inspector.
I try.
Okay, man. So that's a real question. All right.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
And who else?
And Robert Downey Jr. is Paul Avery.
Paul Avery, Robert Downey Jr., yes.
Zodiac is about a serial killer who bring a note to a local newspaper every time he kills.
Mm-hmm.
He follows Inspector Dave Toshi's obsession with catching the Zodiac killer.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Gray Smith, a cartoon artist in the newspaper, follows the investigation in the Zodiac killer, find him, and write a book about him.
Right. The one guy who works at the newspaper as a cartoonist becomes obsessed with the case and cracking the riddles and the codes and all that stuff, and ends up writing a book about it and all that stuff. I saw the movie, too. It was long, but it was good, right? You guys enjoy it?
Yeah, I dug it. I dug it a lot.
And it was a weird 70s flashback.
It's no surprise, you know. The guy out to the investigation is more smart to the police, you know. The crew making the investigation.
Yeah, well, it was back in the day before DNA and surveillance cameras, so the cops really didn't have much to go off of. And this guy, you want to talk about a post-serial killer, he shot people. Now, look. There's guys who've been in Vietnam and World War II, but look, you know, when they have the serial killers convention, the guy who stood 20 feet away and shot people in the back, how much love is he going to get
Son
from
Sam,
all the guys that were wearing other people's skins like lampshades? I mean,
those are the killers.
This guy killed 7 or 8 people with his gun, but they're people who came back as heroes from World War II that killed 100 people with a gun.
You want to be the killer. You got to be the Night Stalker, dude. You got to be Richard Ramirez and go in and choke people out while staring at them.
Right.
You
want to kill your second wife, by all means, use a gun. But if you want to be called a serial killer, they're probably cops who were working that case that had more kills than the Zodiac Killer. I don't care, Zodiac Killer. I'm calling you out.
You know what?
You know where to find me.
He has Ray's house. He had a name.
That's right.
He had a good name, and that's amazing.
He was never caught, though, right?
That's right. Never caught. Ray?
He could be Ray.
Yeah. You enjoyed the movie?
I dug it. I mean, I like the erection of the...
The erection?
Well,
yeah.
The Transamerica building, I like that visual. That
yeah,
was
there
great.
Was, there was an interesting sort of high speed putting together the Transamerica pyramid. And it was just a cool movie, San Francisco, late 60s, early 70s, but
yeah.
probably 20 minutes too long, yes?
And 22 years. It covered 22 years. So
yeah.
It was long, but it was worth it. Definitely worth it. Great acting,
all right,
too.
Now, Ray, you brought a gift in for me.
I sure did. You claim I busted your pinch pot back in whatever, when it
Ray
was a gift to your grandmother?
Ray and I, we weren't good in academics, but we excelled in
ceramics
class because it was where the tards would go to kill time. And Ray
well, this is something
in.
I made. This is a coil pot, not a pinch pot. I made this back in the day, 10th grade. It's beautiful.
It's really nice, man.
It is.
That's really
well,
nice.
Wait, what did, Ray, what did you do with his pinch pot?
Well, I would toss it in the air overhand about 40, 50 feet and clap and catch
when
it
we
and
would
present it back to
when
him.
When we would walk home, Ray would say, what'd you make that? I'd say, it's a pot I made. I'm going to give it to my mom for Mother's Day. Oh, let me see that. And then he'd pick it up and he'd start throwing it. Woo, woo. And I go, Ray, don't monkey. And he'd go, don't come close to me. I'll drop this thing. And then he'd throw it in the air and let's see how many times I can clap. He'd throw it up and go like, then he'd start throwing it behind his back and just chase. Then he'd start throwing it over his head and running after it like a crazy fan
I'm
in the stands.
Athlete.
Eventually, he broke my pot.
Did you break it?
I don't believe I did.
Yes,
but I
you
felt
did.
All right. Okay, here.
I'll take that.
Are you ready? What? Catch it. You're gonna,
oh,
I'm throwing
no.
it.
Oh,
all right.
Jesus.
Come on.
Right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right.
All right.
Let's go.
Swap.
All right. Here we go.
You. Okay.
Here we
ready?
Go. Yeah.
Two, three, A, B.
All right. All right. We need to take a break. Nice job, kiddies.
And Ray. That's for your grandma's.
Thank you. Who told me we'd give it to her posthumously? Thanks, Ray. Tell her that when I give it to her. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci coming up on The Adam Carolla Show.
97.1 KLSX. Free FM.
On Monday, March 12th, Danny Bonaducci will be hosting the March on Stage benefit for Music Rising at the Hard Rock Cafe at City Walk. Get your butt out there and meet all 51 contestants from the Miss USA pageant and hear the tunes of Gretchen Bonaducci's band, the Mudflaps. And if you want to hang out backstage with Danny and Gretchen and all the beautiful Miss USA contestants, just go to 971freefm.com. You might win VIP passes. Music Rising is a charity set up by The Edge from U2 to replace instruments lost in Hurricane Katrina. Now you don't have to worry about all those trombones that blew into the ocean. For more info, go to hardrock.com. We are 97.1 Free FM, SoCal's FM talk station.
Harlan Jenkins here, and I'm sick and tired of them liberal media liars moaning on and on about dumb kids who accidentally blow their heads off with their pappy shotgun.
In the liberal media news today, another dumb kid done blowed his head off.
Well, that kind of thing might go on in the godless, foreigner-filled cities we got in this country today. But it don't happen here in the heartland. Because children who grow up on a farm learn about guns when they wee little babies. Thanks to Armageddon Industries, my first firearm. A kid-sized gun that shoots rubber bullets. So what they hit gets bruised, not bloody. My first firearm teaches your little kids about love for guns, respect for guns, and the direct correlation between our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and guns.
Amen!
My first firearm.
Available now at fine militia depots near you.
Facing real business challenges head-on is what Pepperdine University's fully employed real-world MBA program is all about. Rhonda Hofarth, Chief Operating Officer, Ironclad Incorporated.
Even though Ironclad has sold millions of high-performance work gloves worldwide, there are times even we could use a helping hand. That's where the MBA students at Pepperdine come in.
From grassroots startups to large corporations, Pepperdine's partner companies provide students with hands-on experience in solving actual live business cases.
These Pepperdine MBA students are also working professionals, and they consistently provide our company with innovative ideas, impressive research data, and an excellent potential employment pool.
Pepperdine University's prestigious Grazia Dio School of Business and Management, where the real world of business is mastered. To learn more, call 1-800-933-3333. That's 1-800-933-3333.
Tom Likas.
You seem to be very negative towards women.
How so?
that, we are nothing but sluts.
I don't think you're all sluts. My God, if only you all were.
We think that the number 666, we don't believe in it, but we do believe that it is a very evil number.
How can a number be evil? It's simply a number. I mean, let me ask you a question. Would you buy a house located at 666 Main Street?
Well, my name's 777, so...
What does that mean?
Well, Melissa, and...
Is that a... Oh, you know what that means? If you were in Vegas, you win the jackpot.
That is one of the main reasons why I refuse to get married, because she's going to plump up, cut her hair, and get an attitude problem, and then she's going to want me to take care of her little raggedy kids. I can't do that, Dad.
KLSX. Adam Carolla now. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank coming up at 10. 97.1 KLSX 3 FM.
Travel Worm. TravelWorm.com. Why do I bring up Travel Worm? Because they're the exclusive travel partner for the Adam Carolla Show. Why did we choose them? Because TravelWorm.com offers the best rates on hotels, airfare, show tickets, and event tickets. You like Vegas? Sure you like Vegas. Who doesn't like Vegas? Even if you hate Vegas, you can't admit it to your friends. They'll make fun of you. It's not like liver or kidney beans or anything. It's Vegas, baby. Point is, you like Vegas? You check out the deals on TravelWorm.com. You want to hang out at the Hooters Hotel and Casino? Hooters and Casino. It'd be like if someone came up with a beer-flavored ice cream. Hooters has a bunch of great restaurants, Hooters girls. They got the casino pit, roulette tables that light up so when you're drunk you can find what number the ball lands on. Live entertainment, including TKO and many, many more. What do you do? Pick up the phone, call 888-700-VEGAS. That's 888-700-VEGAS. TravelWorm.com.
The Tom Likas Show. It's just like a men's locker room, but without all the naked guys running around.
Our show is a little different.
97.1 3 FM.
Don't worry, more of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in 60 seconds.
For years, Southern California FM radio catered to people with an uncontrollable urge to dance.
I gotta dance! Oh!
And ignored those with the irresistible urge to talk.
I gotta talk!
Then, 97.1 was born.
You people are just sitting here where you don't even care! Don't you people have anything better to do with your effing time?
Soon, the entire Southland was relieved to learn that they could stop dancing and start talking.
Let's talk! I have the whole bleeding lot of you!
Like the other radio stations in town, we asked people who work for us to pretend they were satisfied listeners. Here's what happened.
Stay away from me! No, leave me alone! No!
It's the best variety of talk from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. What the hell does that mean?
Sometimes I find myself talking along out loud in my car.
You know, I've seen you do that, and it's very scary.
KLSX.
Well, that's the show. Where did the time go on a Monday? I want to thank Stephen Flynn for his book, The Edge of Disaster. Andrew Dice Clay, Dice Undisputed. Sundays, 10:30. That thing's at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock on VH1 and Tim Kring, Heroes. Tonight, 9 o'clock, big finale, big cliffhanger tonight on NBC. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
This is my new thing now, three ways. That's the only thing that will satisfy me.